The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Monday, May 10th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a historic church in Philadelphia's Tacony section went up in flames on Sunday. The fire broke out at 5:30 in the evening at St. Leo, the great Roman Catholic Church, near UNRA Avenue and Keystone Street. Heavy smoke billowed into the sky as flames tore through the vacant property that was built in 1884. Travelers on 95 could see flames shooting through the church's roof. The blaze reached two alarms before it was brought under control just before 7 o'clock. St. Leo's merged with Our Lady of Consolation in 2013. The church closed in 2019 as a place of worship and was later added to the city's historic register. The former pastor of the church told 6ABC the historic structure was just sold last month and was going to be rented out to be used by religious groups. No injuries were reported, but the flames did spread to the former rectory right next door, displacing the family who lives there. As the church burned, people shared wedding photos from the 1960s, class photos from St. Leo's Catholic School, and childhood memories. The Archdiocese of Philadelphia said while the church had not been used for some time, it will assist in the aftermath. There's no immediate word on what sparked the blaze. Students are just 1 month away from the last day of school, but the School District of Philadelphia is moving forward Monday with its third and final phase of its hybrid rollout. Students in sixth through ninth grades will return to the classroom under a hybrid learning plan. The hybrid model consists of 2 days in-person learning and then 3 days of digital learning. Students with complex needs in grades 10 through 12 will also return Monday. The district invested more than $250 million in building improvements. When it comes to safety, all students taking part in the hybrid plan are required to have a COVID-19 rapid test at school. Parents had to sign consent forms before students returned. Both nostrils will be swabbed, but it is not the deep swab that some people have received. Results are ready in 15 minutes. Most sophomores, juniors, and seniors will remain virtual for the rest of the school year. School leaders, however, say they haven't forgot about the seniors. They say seniors will be able to celebrate their graduation at in-person ceremonies this year. The events will be held outdoors in accordance with capacity limits. Free caps and gowns will be given to the students. Those who already paid for their caps and gowns will be reimbursed. And then, like I mentioned, in traffic, starting today, if you take the Walt Whitman Bridge or the Schuylkill Expressway in South Philadelphia, you'll need extra time to get through the new lane closures.
Oh, man.
So a new construction project will have traffic down to one lane in each direction on the Schuylkill Expressway between Broad Street and Passyunk. The project is expected to last for 4 months through August. The work will include milling, paving, repairs, and drainage improvements. Beginning today, the following ramps will be affected by the construction. So the entrance ramp from Broad Street North to the Schuylkill West will be closed until May 30th. The exit ramp from the Schuylkill West to Penrose Avenue, that will be closed until May 23rd. The entrance ramp from Penrose Avenue North to the Schuylkill East, that's closed as well until May 23rd. And then beginning on May 25th, the following ramps are then going to be affected. So May 25th, there'll be a whole set of new closures. That's the entrance ramp from Passyunk Avenue to the Schuylkill West, that's closed until June 7th. And then the exit ramp from the Schuylkill West to Passyunk Avenue will be closed until May 27th.
God. It's already pretty messy down there. I flew out on Friday and I was taking, you know, the Schuylkill and I kind of daydreamed and wasn't paying attention. Ended up heading towards the sports complex instead of the way you normally go to
right,
the airport.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, I'll make a quick detour, whatever. It's no big deal. I'll shoot down Broad and then jump on 95 from there and go to the airport. Broad was closed completely,
yeah.
Shut down. And then kind of a funky way to get over to Packer. And it's already a complete mess. So I guess that's all in preparation of this.
Well, no, so they're already doing construction down there. This is just like a new phase of it. So it's pretty crazy down there. So if you're in South Philadelphia or
you're never getting out.
Walt Whitman Bridge. Yeah, no, you're going to be affected by this for sure.
Well.
So just keep that in mind. There's new closures in effect. Okay, let's do sports this morning.
All sacks are yummy.
The Phillies lost to the Braves last night in Atlanta. Freddie Freeman.
What the
fuck is this?
And Dansby Swanson homered. Oscar Yanoa won his fourth straight start, and the Braves beat the Phils 6-1. Freeman hit his ninth home run, a solo shot, to make it 5-1 in the third as the Braves won their second straight game and fifth in the last six. The Phils are off today before they continue their road trip with a three-game set in Washington against the Nationals tomorrow night. The Sixers, who have won eight games in a row and stay on top in the Eastern Conference, are off until tomorrow night when they'll travel to Indiana to play the Pacers. With only four games remaining, the Sixers are three games ahead of the Brooklyn Nets and three and a half ahead of the Milwaukee Bucks. And the Flyers wrap up their regular season with a game at home tonight against the New Jersey Devils. Both teams will finish their season out outside of the playoffs, with the Flyers in sixth place in the Eastern Division, and the Devils will finish in seventh. The puck is scheduled to drop at 7 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. And today is Monday, May 10th. A lot of people don't know it's Wear Your Neck Brace to Work Day today.
Yes. Yeah.
It is.
What's happening?
You guys didn't get the memo
what
at all?
What is happening over there?
He's got a little bit of a soreness, and right? You were working over the weekend. Yeah.
So, Kathy, this little neck brace, by the way, I have it, like, pumped all the way up. What it does is it stretches the vertebrae out. So, like, they sometimes in my neck, like, tend to, like, kind of pinch and collapse.
Compact?
Yeah, and compact.
You know, you actually look like, and I mean, this is one of my favorite movies, you look like one of the characters from Dune.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was showing you a picture of.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't
Beast
know
Rabanne.
Oh.
Yeah, that's who it is. I pulled up a picture of Rabanne, and I'm like, Kathy was doing news. I'm like, this is you.
But is that what that thing is for, or is that for the airplane?
No.
That's for stretching out his vertebrae and his neck.
It looked like a thing that you would take on an airplane to get a nap.
It looks like one of those donut pillow things.
Could you sleep with that? Could you use that as a sleeping? It would keep your head up, right?
I mean, maybe, probably.
Yeah. Look at that.
It's got a blood pressure.
A bladder.
Bladder thingy on here to pump it up. And
I kind of dig that.
Yeah. So is your neck hurting?
It was really hurting me on Saturday.
Oh, that sucks.
Today's not as bad, but I'm playing in the Michael Barkan Healing Hearts golf outing today.
Oh, right. Nice.
So I wanted to make sure I stretched it out, take some ibuprofen, make sure I'm ready to go.
Do you want a massage? I can do it in a commercial if you want.
I would love that.
All right.
Yes.
I would love that.
Anyhow, we have a few things that are going on. We, number one, are kicking off today the last week of the Preston Steve Money Clip Contest. So if you have, for whatever reason, been putting it off, I don't know why, because it's so easy. But if you have, this is your week, okay? $500, we get it two times in the morning alone, and then it carries on throughout the course of the day, every other hour until 8 o'clock, so don't miss that. We also have a cash giveaway for a Word of the Week prize, $250 credit to Squeezed.com, by the way.
Good stuff.
Get yourself set and do a juice cleanse. We also have an announcement that is coming up at 7 a.m. This is a concert announcement, so we'll get you the details around 7-ish when we wrap up the entertainment break. And also, we are ready. You want to do this?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are officially kicking off the Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year contest. We have done this for a number of years, and we didn't even announce that we were going to begin this today, so we're just diving right into it. And we started this several years ago, where we just wanted to do a little nod to all those hard-working teachers that are appreciated by their students. This is the one thing that I want to hit really hard, is that these award winners are voted upon by their students.
That's
all there is to it. I mean, we've seen great teachers come in and out of our lives, and we would like to just do a little nod, a little acknowledgement, and make sure that it comes from the most important source, and that would be the people that are learning for these teachers, the students. So what we do is we randomly draw with this actual giant Chinese food to-go container.
The way it's been done since time began.
That's filled up with the names of local schools, and then we draw them randomly, and then we have you vote for 24 hours and who you think should win the prize. And this year's prize is great. Okay, so first of all, you get the Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug. That used to be all we gave away because it's all we could get. But now we're going to throw in a pair of MM barbecue tickets.
What?
The teacher will be able to sit in the Coolest Teacher section.
What?
No way. We will give them a Coolest Teacher t-shirt to wear to the show.
Dude.
So they will be amongst all the other coolest teachers.
That's amazing.
And and we can do it mainly because it's going to be in the fall, so it'll be later on. It's not like right away. And we're also going to give you a $25 gift card to Acme Markets. Nice. Fresh food, local flavors.
You know what? This allows me to say to all the past winners, you got robbed.
Yeah, you did. No, it's evolved. It's evolved. Yeah. It's getting bigger, and we are happy to do this. So, you guys ready to do this?
Absolutely. Yeah. You take the first.
You want me to take
you
the first?
You have to. Yeah. You're your first name in the show.
All right. I will reach in here, and we'll grab our first school, and then I will tell you how you can vote, because we've made it a little bit easier. All right. So
I'm excited.
This is great. The first school is not too far off from where I live. Upper Perkiomen High School in Pennsburg, Pennsylvania.
Upper Perk.
Upper Perk. It's up to you guys to tell us who you think the coolest teacher of the year is. Now, here's what you got to do. You just text the word teacher to 39333, and then we send you a voting link.
Boom.
That's all there is to it. Or you can go to PrestonandSteve.com and go to the voting link there. So no more having to text the name of the teacher and all that stuff. It's a little bit easier this time. So just text the word teacher to 39333. We will send you the voting link, and then you take it from there. It's very simple. So Upper Perkiomen High School in Pennsburg, Pennsylvania, you get to vote for the coolest teacher. You get 24 hours. So we will continue to mention that through the course of today's show and make sure that we get people on board to vote, which is cool. So, and we're off and running.
Yes, we are.
How about that? And what an interesting year it has been as far as teaching goes. So
it's all over the place.
It may look a little bit different this year, but there have definitely been a lot of people who have taken the position that they've been, or you know, the situation they've been handed, and they've tried to make the best of it. So let's see how it works, how it has worked for you. Upper Perk High School. Let's get you to vote. All right, I think I've covered everything.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Let's take a break. Come back in a second. The entertainment report and the stupid question are on the way next, so don't be going nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, the stupid question prize today is a digital download of the heart-stopping thriller Locked In with Mina Savari. And the question that I have for you is, which famous actress shares her name with William Shakespeare's wife? 215-263-WMMR. Call if you know the answer. Which famous actress shares her name with William Shakespeare's wife? Get it right, get the prize. That's how it works. Go through some birthdays. We're waiting for that phone call today, Monday, May 10th, and Bono has a birthday today. Bono turns 61 years old. Is his name Paul Hewson?
Paul Hewson, yeah. Yes. And Bono Vox is the full name he created, right?
That's correct, yep.
And what did you get me? What did you get me? What did you get me for my birthday?
So he is 61 today, and not sure what Bono does on a birthday.
I sit alone and I weep for the children.
Oh, that, you know what? That sounds like something.
Actually, he's been composing a lot of music from his home. You remember he's been releasing a lot of stuff? Doing over the long distance deal?
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I do.
So happy birthday, Bono.
Thank you, Preston. It's very kind of you.
You're welcome. Love Bono. Big fan.
I love you.
It's Mark David Chapman's birthday today.
I don't love him.
No.
He's a bad man.
Nobody loves him. He shot
bad things.
Shot and killed John Lennon. He's out of his mind.
So I watched a documentary on him recently.
Did you?
Turns out he's crazy.
Yeah.
But the story is, you know, the story of that particular murder and all the particulars, like carrying Catcher in the Rye, and that he aligned himself with that book meant everything to him.
And he also kind of wanted to be John, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Very much
another
wanted
case,
to be him.
You kill the thing you love the most.
Yeah, it's just, I can't wrap my mind around that.
Didn't he get an autograph from him that day?
He did, Nick, hours earlier. In fact, it was outside
the Dakota.
The Dakota, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of him, of
yes.
John signing.
Same day, yeah.
Signing his album, signing Mark David Chapman's album. Yeah, it's messed up. I wouldn't have included him, but there's not a whole lot of birthdays today. So I threw that in there. It's also, Steve, it's Dave Mason's birthday today.
Good guys.
Yeah.
There ain't no bad guys. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Great song. He didn't write it, but it's a great song.
Yeah, we had him on the air one time, and we didn't know he didn't write that song.
Look, as you can barely hear me, I'm way in the background.
He was in the band Traffic.
Yes, he was.
Which, great band, man. Just a, I mean, really cool, moody tunes.
Yeah. Dear Mr. Fantasy?
Yeah. This is what starts off Endgame.
Oh,
yeah.
It's great. Yeah. You know, it's a great Sex and Up song, Low Spark of High Heel Boys.
Oh, it's a fantastic tune, man.
Is this him singing?
No, that's Steve Winwood.
I thought it was Steve Winwood.
Yeah. Okay. It turns out Dave Mason really didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Except we just disagree.
Yeah, that's it. That's
I
a great song. Yeah, I disagree.
Dave Mason is 75 today, so happy birthday. It's also Linda Evangelista.
Linda.
Oh, she was in the George Michael video with all the models.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Which was
sex.
Freedom.
Freedom. That was it.
Free sex.
And she would have been about that time that supermodel became
elevated.
Really, really big.
Who was the first, who was coined as the first supermodel?
Don't know.
Because that term came into being around that time.
Around that time, you're right, yeah.
Oh, well. It was that one chick who was in The Surreal Life, wasn't she? Or at least she says she was.
Oh, she, that's right. The drug addict and former drug addict.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is her name?
I don't,
Come on, what is her name? She was very outspoken with Harvey Weinstein.
Yes. Dickinson.
Yeah, Jenny Dickinson.
Janice, okay.
You're right, yeah. Linda Evangelista, stunning, is 56 today. And the last birthday I saw that I will mention is Kenan Thompson, Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
I love that guy.
And Good Burger.
Yeah. I love Good Burger.
Mm. Was it? Now the longest running cast member ever on the history of SNL. Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah.
Who was before that?
I think it was
Tim Meadows was.
Maybe it was
one of the longest running.
Maybe it was Tim Meadows. Yeah.
I know that. So, well, anyway, happy birthday to you, Mr. Thompson.
By the way, he's maintaining that legacy by also doing a sitcom as well at the same time.
Yeah.
So he does his own sitcom.
43 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Which famous actress shares her name with William Shakespeare's wife? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and we will go to Josh. Hey, Josh.
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. All right, Josh. William Shakespeare's wife, what was her name?
Her name was Anne Hathaway.
He's correct.
Now, is that a adopted name?
I don't think so, because I saw an interview with Anne Hathaway not that long ago, and apparently she was always Annie. So I know that Anne is her actual first name. That's a good question. Nick, could you look up and see if Anne Hathaway, if that's
Anne
her birthday?
Jacqueline Hathaway.
Yeah, there you go.
That's her birthday.
All right.
So maybe I'm sure she was named after her, probably. Yeah. All right. So Josh got it right. We are going to give him a digital download, the heart-stopping thriller Locked In, starring Mena Suvari and Kostas Mandaler. And it's a hostage that must stay one step ahead of her captors in their hunt for stolen diamonds. If she has any chance to escape alive, you can buy or rent it tonight's Rated R from Paramount Pictures.
Here's a fun fact about Anne Hathaway, the actress, which I didn't know until just now. Her maternal grandfather worked at WIP AM.
What?
Which was a radio station here in Philadelphia. She did that laugh, and she was also named after Shakespeare's wife. But wow. So she has roots in Philadelphia radio.
That's very cool. Nice.
A lot of celebrities recently have been exposing their ties to Philadelphia.
Yeah. I'm going to go through the box office this weekend. Number one was Wrath of Man.
Good.
It made $8 million with Jason Statham. And that's, were we talking to?
Yes, we were talking to
the McEnany.
Thank you. McAlaney. You also have Demon Slayer, followed by Mortal Kombat.
I have to admit, I have no idea what Demon Slayer is.
Godzilla versus Kong. Then you have Raya and the Last Dragon, followed by Separation. Here today, Nobody, The Unholy, and at number 10 was Tom and Jerry. We'll start with the Royals for a little bit here. Prince William and Prince Harry are still at odds. Sources tell Page Six that the pair insisted on giving separate speeches at the unveiling of a statue.
But at the same time.
Of their late mother, Princess Diana. Insiders are concerned that they're not putting on a united front.
Wow, I thought that would actually take a better turn after the death of Prince Philip, but... Nah, apparently not.
They were widely expected to reunite in July for the unveiling. And according to a source at The Sun, they said you might have thought that they'd go for a joint statement and speech, but that's not the case. Each has insisted on preparing their own. So that's how they worked that out. Followers of the royal family are wondering if Prince Charles meant to snub Meghan when wishing her son and his grandson, Archie, a happy birthday. According to a photo that he captioned himself with his son Harry and grandson Archie, it said, "Happy birthday to Archie, who turns 2 today." Followers noted that Meghan was noticeably absent in his dedication while she appeared in other royal birthday dedications.
Did he mention his grandson as well, or did you just...
Yeah, he mentioned Archie. He said, yeah, happy birthday to Archie,
right,
who turns 2 today.
Okay, so did he mention his son?
There was a picture. It was a photo of himself with his son Harry and grandson Archie. So she wasn't anywhere. He was in it.
This would be the perfect situation.
Trying to read that.
Meghan.
Charles is reportedly fuming over Meghan and Harry's tell-all with Oprah. Jersey Shore star Ronnie Ortiz Magro is speaking out about mental health after the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office downgraded his felony charge of domestic abuse against his girlfriend, Sapphire Matos, to a potential misdemeanor. On Instagram stories, he shared a quote that said, "It's okay to feel unstable. It's okay to disassociate. It's okay to hide from the world. It's okay to need help. It's okay to not be okay."
Man, he's a good writer.
Your mental illness is not a personal failure.
Inspirational words from Ronnie Ortiz Magro. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be hungry. It's okay to be sleepy. It's okay.
It's okay to be hungry.
It's okay to be horny, too.
It's okay to be horny.
Yeah.
Is it okay to put
It's never okay to be late for supper.
No.
Yeah. Is it okay
What's
to...
What's that neck brace?
I'm not wearing a neck brace. Sorry.
What's that neck brace?
I was just going to ask if it was okay. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Never mind. We're going past this part.
Go past this part.
By the way, Case, have you seen him lately?
No.
I think he's had cosmetic surgery.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think he's had cosmetic. He looks different. He looks different, not in a way that weight loss would make you look different.
He was previously arrested multiple times for abusing his now ex, Jen Harley, with whom he shares a child. He was hit with 7 misdemeanors, including domestic violence, back in 2020.
He's a raving lunatic.
Ginger Duggar Vuolo and her husband, Jeremy Vuolo, are horrified by the latest accusations leveled against her brother, Josh. The father of 6 was arrested on charges of receiving and possessing child pornography 6 years after the story of him allegedly molesting children, including a few of his sisters, became public.
What a mess this guy is.
Insiders tell People that they are horrified and disgusted. And the source said, being a family themselves, the idea of these kinds of charges against Josh are a horrific thing. Ginger is having a hard time coping with it. Though the scandal has taken an emotional toll on the couple, according to the source, the Counting On stars are focusing on their own family, including daughters
Felicity.
And Evangeline.
Well, you figure if you have 50 kids, you're going to have a stinker in the group, right?
You have to. I mean, just the law of averages. Yeah.
What number are you more than likely to give birth to a serial killer?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Stop at 25.
Mm-hmm.
This is so gross, though. He's disgusting.
It's incredibly gross. Yeah. And he looks like the exact guy you would think of as a pedo.
And there's a track record. Yeah, it's terrible. This was sad to see. Steve and I were texting about this weekend. Tawny Kitaen, you know her from rock music videos over the years. Bachelor Party, starred with Tom Hanks in that movie. She was his fiancée. She was great in that movie. She passed away. She was 59 years old.
Oh, wow.
The Orange County Coroner's Office said that she died at her home in Newport Beach on Friday. The cause of death was not immediately released.
Was she the one that they said was dead a few months ago?
No.
Who was that?
No, that was a different one. I know who you're talking about.
Oh, it was the different hot redhead, right?
Chick
from Beastmaster by any chance?
Yes, Tanya Roberts.
That's okay.
She had gone into the hospital. They prematurely announced her death. Right.
And then she died.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Her daughters, Winter and Rain, confirmed their mother's death on Catan's Instagram account. They had written, we just want to say thank you for all of you, her fans and her friends, for always showing her such support and love. You gave her life every day.
Tawny Catan was a classic, one of the babes of that time. So
she was a stunner,
yeah,
man.
And I remember I would try to replicate her moves. I would dance that same way on my Pinto.
Right, not the same.
No.
She did it on a Jaguar, but...
Right.
So she was on the cover of two albums for the band Rat, by the way, and several music videos for Whitesnake, including this one, of course, the huge hit song in 1987, and she's, you know, on top of the hood of the car and looked unbelievably gorgeous.
She was married
video.
To...
David Coverdale
yeah. for a while, yeah. Of course, like I said earlier, she was a fiance in Tom Hanks' character in Bachelor Party.
Which she was really good in, by the way. She was really good.
Yeah, and she was on an episode of Seinfeld. She played Jerry's girlfriend in a 1991 episode.
The bad actress.
Other TV credits included a stint as a co-host on America's Funniest People and on the reality shows The Surreal Life and Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, in which she revealed her struggle with substance abuse. So that's, you know, that's what's in my mind as she, the story of her dying at 59.
Wasn't she married to a ball player as well?
Yeah.
That's very tumultuous.
Yeah, she was also married to a guy named Chuck Finley.
Yeah.
Was he a big star?
He was a really strong starter for a number of years. Yeah, he may have won the Cy Young, but... There was allegations of physical abuse in that.
Yeah, from her to him, wasn't there?
I believe so. Yeah, it got bad.
So they had two daughters. Coverdale tweeted on Saturday, "My sincere condolences to her children, her family, friends, and fans." So that was just out of the blue.
Yeah,
and I was telling Steve when I saw the story on Saturday night, and I immediately just started doing a little bit of research, and I typed in her name, and then I hit images, and like all the photos that came up were of her recently, and she had unfortunately gone down the bad plastic surgery route.
Yeah.
She tinkered too much.
Yeah.
She was so beautiful, man. She was such a naturally pretty girl. Nonetheless, sad at that age, man. Terrible to hear. All right, we need something lighter than that, so this will certainly fit that bill. Recently, a clip of Adam Sandler arriving at an IHOP location. Of course, we talked about that, showed him leaving due to a 30-minute wait. It went viral, but last week, Sandler tweeted out, "For the record, I only left IHOP because the nice woman told me that the all-you-can-eat deal didn't apply to the milkshakes." So now, IHOP has responded to that, stating that it'll offer all-you-can-drink milkshakes today.
What?
There's one catch. It's only good on Long Island.
Yes.
And there's also another catch. It has to be between noon and 8 p.m. at 19 participating IHOP locations. You can down as many milkshakes as your heart desires. For those not in New York, you should know that for every milkshake sold today, though, at any location, IHOP will donate $1 up to $50,000 to Comedy Gives Back, the nonprofit that is supporting comedians during the pandemic.
That's the way to play it. Kathy, Sunrise Highway. I go to the IHOP on Sunrise Highway because that's has the most parking. But I always loved the I actually always was a big IHOP fan, but I never went there for pancakes. I love their hamburgers.
Really?
Yeah, I know. It's stupid, but
I would only go there for pancakes.
Yeah.
Wow. I haven't been in an IHOP in ages. I didn't even know they had milkshakes. And by the way, an all-you-can-eat milkshakes... I mean,
how many do you want?
That's one milkshake.
I can only do one.
Is this milkshake bottomless? Because I really need as much as I can get.
I would definitely attempt to.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, because you're paying for it.
Give it a shot.
There's a place on Ridge that has malted milkshakes. And if you get the, I think it's called the Ice Cream Bakery. If you get the large one, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
Your heart will cease. It's too much.
I used to love going to Ruby's Case because they would give you the milkshake in the glass.
Yes,
and then they would hand you the cup, the mixer that still had a lot left in it. And
Friendly's did
essentially
that.
Essentially, get two of them.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Nifty Fifties does that as well.
Yeah, I think it's an old school diner type of thing.
Ponderosa, that was a chain, was
yes, it?
Yes,
it
not?
Was. Okay, absolutely.
Because when we were in grade school, they had a all you could eat ice cream bar. And we would go, one person would buy it, and then like
oh
five
my God,
of us.
Seriously?
Yes!
You always
we were 12. We didn't, yeah. you know? So we stole ice cream, essentially, is what would happen. You know, one person
and
would buy it.
Now they're out of business. Now, look what you did.
Oh, put them out of business.
I kind of miss those steak chain places that were like a, you walked up with your tray and counter and you just pick it and they'd load it up. But they would cook your steak fresh for you and it would be done at the end after you ordered it. But you got all your sides on the way.
You ever go to Hoss's?
No, I've never even heard of Hoss's.
Yeah, I there were like five of them in the state, and there was one near college. So, okay, same thing. All you could eat ice cream, but the, it was a cheap way to get a relatively decent meal. And all you could eat so many things on the menu.
Well, that's similar,
and I think it's still around.
If you go to like Texas, when I go to visit my dad, there's Morrison's and there's Luby's. And that's it's exactly that, Preston.
Lubies.
Down with the tray.
Yeah, bend Lubies. Over. Yeah. Here's your lube.
You're going to get lubed.
I used to work at a place when I was in high school called York Steakhouse. It was just like that. Yeah. I loved it.
So we had the flip of the coin after church. There'd be like a Ponderosa, and across the parking lot was the McDonald's. And so, like, you know, which one are we going to today?
That's a perfect
Which one does Jesus
place?
Want us to go to?
Juliana Rancic is leaving her post of E's red carpet coverage.
Oh, really?
That's a significant loss as far as I'm concerned.
She said, after 20 fabulous years hosting E's red carpet, I have decided to step out of my red carpet heels into a new pair of shoes. She said, one of my passions is great storytelling, and I'm thrilled to announce a new development deal with E's parent company, NBC Universal, where I will be producing and bringing stories to life.
Huh. I like stories.
She said to my E! Family, thank you for allowing me to make my red carpet dreams come true for the past two decades. It's truly been a highlight of my career and life. She has been at E! On and off for two decades, beginning as an E! Correspondent and becoming co-host of E! News in 2005. She previously left the show in 2015, focused on family, returning in 2018, and exiting again in 2019 ahead of the relocation of E! News from Los Angeles to New York City in January 2020.
She had
cancer, right?
Yeah, she did.
She beat it. She had her own show. I don't know if it was like a reality show or
it was something
where you...
Her husband was one of the first Apprentice winners.
So
they were like a celebrity, the reckoning of a celebrity couple.
But I feel like this red carpet stuff is really what elevated her to status.
Where she was on with Joan Rivers and all that stuff. Yeah. So they would all, you know, assess people's wear and gowns and crap like that.
And she was good at it because despite not appearing on E! News regularly, she continued to host the Live from the Red Carpet coverage because she did a good job at it.
When E! First came on, the cable channel, E!, when it first originated, was it 24-hour entertainment news or what? I'm trying to remember when it first came on. It's been around, it seems like, forever.
Right.
But they weren't, it didn't seem to me that they debuted with a whole bunch of original programming.
I don't remember all the, I think it was mainly just reporting on what celebs are up to and talk soup and stuff like that.
Right, right.
I think that might have been part of the early program. I'm not sure, Steve. You'd have to look up the
Bravo
wiki page.
Bravo used to be all snooty programming and now it's Real Housewives.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Elon Musk hosted Saturday Night Live and delivered a classic opening monologue. We have some clips from that. And a surprise twist at the end. He said that he was the first SNL host with Asperger's syndrome. And then he said, or at least the first to admit it, which is supposed to be a reference to Dan Aykroyd, who's a member of the cast, hosted in 2003 after leaving. And Aykroyd also has Asperger's, which is why he's kind of an interesting character.
Well, the thing is, and I was thinking about this, Amy Schumer's husband has Asperger's as well. And the thing that I was reading is that there is a level of focus that comes with this. And when you look at what he has been able to achieve in his life and the way his mind works, this is obviously something that fuels that, you know? I think he did a solid job.
So do I.
I think his monologue was, well, you know, obviously it was written for him, but his delivery in his way was solid. Give a listen and tell us what you think.
It's an honor to be hosting Saturday Night Live. I mean that. Sometimes after I say something, I have to say, I mean that. So people really know that I mean it. That's because I don't always have a lot of intonation or variation in how I speak. Which I'm told makes for great comedy. I'm actually making history tonight as the first person with Asperger's to host SNL. Or at least the first to admit it. So I won't make a lot of eye contact with the cast tonight. But all right, I'm pretty good at running human in emulation mode.
And then he talks about his son's name. So, yes. Let's hear that clip. Here we go.
SNL is also a great way to learn something new about the host. For example, this is my son's name.
Can I show a picture of it?
It's all the figures and stuff. Right. Yeah.
It's pronounced cat running across the keyboard.
He had a really, really funny line during that monologue, but the line itself was funny, but it was the looks that he did afterwards that were really funny. I wish I could remember what the joke was, but
he worked well with his material.
Yeah.
So that was solid. And he did character stuff, and he was even, there was a like a Mario Kart skit, and he was doing the accent, and he was in there. He was
Wario.
Yeah, what was Wario?
On trial. It was pretty funny.
And then we have a clip of a sketch they did called Murder Dirter.
Oh, my God.
The best.
Yeah. I had this sent to me so many times over the weekend. I watched it on Saturday night. It was great, and it's sort of based on Mayor of Easttown, but, man, is it funny.
Okay, we have several clips of this.
It's long, but it's well worth it.
All right, here we go.
Would you guys quit eating Wawa Hokies over to Body, please?
Sorry, Ross.
From the makers of Mayor of Easttown and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia comes...
No. Is it my dirter?
No, and she's murdered.
They murdered my dirter?
I'm afraid to sue.
My daughter had a baby daughter and they murdered her!
Murder Dirter, an extremely Pennsylvania crime show.
I got you some yin yang and a cheesesteak to take the edge off.
Oh, thanks, Care.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
There we go.
Highly accurate, says the Delco Daily. The writer's clearly...
The Delco Daily.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. By the way, in the episode last night, there was a newspaper clipping on the wall from the Daily Times.
Really?
I was like, oh my God, they delivered that newspaper.
Googled. They were the foods and the towns.
Third on this third matches the steam down in Dannington.
Down Roysford, past Hokesson.
That's Conchahawken?
No, past Hokesson, over by the Jagoff Bridge.
Great. And you guys can spell that for me later?
Oh, my God. How much of this went over the heads of the majority of
the
country?
People. This is great for us, though.
Totally. It was well done, and I love the Jagoff Bridge.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. And do we have the, there was a special cameo that was in the thing as well.
Well, play it. Yeah,
here we go. This is the third clip.
The New York Times says, so authentically Pennsylvania, I'm assuming. Absolutely everyone was related to each other.
Look here. I knew why you're a cop. Because your pop was a cop. And your pop-pop was a cop. And your pop-pop's pop-pop was the original Philly fanatic. But it's not your fault you're sending Drand into Schuylkill on purpose.
How does he know all that?
Because he's my cousin. And he's my cousin. And that's my ex-husband's and that girl.
Hey, Gear.
Let me guess, your cousin?
Dude, it's my granddaughter.
Granddaughter? How old are you?
I'm a Philly 40.
But at one point, Tina Fey makes an appearance. It's perfect, yeah.
Nice, nice.
And gritty.
Gritty in the woods.
And a Philly fanatic, technically.
Technically?
Technically, well, it was a picture of him.
Okay.
Wait, did Tina Fey, she spoke with the accent?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, she was a suspect in one of the interrogation rooms.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice. All right, a couple other quick things. Gal Gadot confirmed rumors that Joss Whedon was a bit nasty to her during the filming of Justice League in 2017. She said in an interview, he kind of threatened my career and said if I did something, he would make my career miserable, and I just took care of it instead, she said.
She could beat the piss out of him.
Whedon has come under fire for mistreating a range of actors, including Ray Fisher, who is the most outspoken. But she's kind of concurring.
Yeah, it sucks, too, because I like the stuff he's done, but it turns out he's an a-hole.
Yeah. Let's see. Emma Thompson says that turning 60 really helped her find herself. In an interview with British Vogue.
I am.
Two-time Academy Award winner said, she's 62 years old, said, I think what I feel principally now is free in a new chapter of life. I am uncomfortable trying to look slim and fashionable because I am not, and now it's allowed that I am not.
I love being bloated and veiny.
She said that she'd rather perform than pose. She said, I fancy a bit of fun.
I like her a lot.
Yeah, she's cool.
Who got that interview?
That was No, that was British Vogue.
Okay.
There you go.
I don't get British Vogue. Damn it.
All right. And then one more thing. Kim Zolciak Bierman.
Yes, you know this name, Preston.
Her Don't Be Tardy show has been canceled.
No!
Yeah. Oh,
man.
A show I've never heard of before. It's canceled after 8 seasons on Bravo.
Bravo, I have not been to Bravo in a long time.
8 seasons. I've never heard of this song.
Don't
before.
Be Tardy?
Yeah.
Here's a woman who has, I think, might have dabbled in plastic surgery here, Kathy. This, she looks like the Michelin Man's wife.
Injections, yeah. More likely.
So, according to...
I'm sorry that the show's wrapping up.
A spokesperson at Bravo, they said, we have enjoyed watching the incredible journey of Kim...
Are they the only ones?
Of Kim Croy and the entire family who grew up right before our eyes.
The dude's name is Croy?
K-R-O-Y.
That's so dumb.
We are so thankful to...
It is. It's a dumb name.
To have... Well, there's more. To have had the opportunity to share the life and touching moments with our audience is not returning. So...
8 years!
The show followed her life of Kim, her husband, Croy, daughters Brielle, Ariana, and the youngest Bremens are... Kaya, Kane, Cash, and KJ.
Oh.
Which ones do you think they had together?
Yeah.
Not Brielle and Ariana.
No.
Just Kaya, Kane, Cash, and KJ.
Yeah.
The other two, I think, were probably from another relationship.
Let's have alliteration.
Yep. So I know you're all upset, but that show's over now.
I'm just stunned. Yeah. 8 years of a show that I had absolutely no idea existed. 8 years.
And actually, one more story, because we do have a little bit of time here. So, an original Star Wars Episode V, Empire Strikes Back script, which revealed how the pivotal plot twist was hidden from actors, smashed auction estimates to sell for $32,000. It once belonged to David Prowse, who played Darth Vader. He was the guy in the costume, as we've said many times before.
So the script hides the final revelation?
Correct. I think Nick has mentioned this before.
Yeah, we talked about it when David Prowse passed.
Yeah.
I remember, Preston, you brought up this auction because there's some pretty cool items on there.
Yeah, so the script was marked Vader at the top of each page. The incomplete script was auctioned by East Bristol Auctions in the UK last week. Vader's most famous lines to Luke Skywalker, "I am your father," was left out. The script provided provided to Prowse omits. What the hell is
the script
thing?
That he got omits?
Oh, he gave to him. Provided to Prowse omits the key revelation and shows different lines in its place.
Do you know
what
the original line is? Where do you want to go to lunch?
No, the original line was, "Luke, we will be the most powerful in the galaxy. You will have everything you could ever want. Do not resist. It is our destiny."
Well, that's a longer line,
but it was it would make sense, and he could still react that way, I guess.
Right.
So, his script was the top earner during the Star Wars themed auction that netted a total of about $500,000. Other highlights included a signed Mark Hamill photo.
We have the original line that got the screen, Preston.
Okay.
I have no underwear.
Oh, wow.
And signed Carrie Fisher photo and a cast list of a replica lightsaber sold as well.
No Imperial probe droids there.
Shut up! It'd be great if he's trying to do the line and I think he's making the noise. He keeps looking down and like, shut up.
Shut up. Stop that. Shut up. I'm your father.
Yeah, I was going to tell you.
Yeah. Try to tell him something.
All right. Now we can do the clips.
Yep.
We'll start with this one. The Crime of the Century is a two-part documentary about the opioid epidemic. In this clip, director and producer Alex Gibney speaks about the genesis of this issue. Here we go.
The reason I called it the Crime of the Century and the reason I was interested in doing it was it seemed like the opioid crisis was being presented to us almost like a natural disaster, like a hurricane or a flood, as if it just happened. Upon examination, it seems clear that it was manufactured by a number of key corporations.
I don't give a f***.
Crime of the Century premieres tonight, 9 o'clock on HBO. He's the same guy that did the Scientology.
It looks really good.
Going Clear documentary, Steve.
Yeah, there's a record amount of fentanyl coming into the country right now. And I was watching some of the teaser clips from this. It looks excellent.
Here's the next clip. Paper Spiders follows a teen making a series of tough choices as her mother's paranoid delusions threaten to destroy their loving relationship. And here, director Natalie Champanirin talks about how she hopes her screenplay will help those dealing with a mental illness. Here we go.
And what we hope is that, like, people will learn something from it and take away. It doesn't have to be secretive and it doesn't have to be shameful. And we were actually, we didn't share this, that it was based on or inspired at least by a true story.
Yeah! Paper Spiders is now available on Amazon Prime, by the way. And that's the entertainment report for you, friend. So a couple things. We have our first coolest teacher of the year school that we have chosen. And that school is Upper Perkiomen High School in Pennsburg, PA. And it's very simple. All you have to do is text the word teacher. If you're a student there, text the word teacher to 39333. We'll send you the voting link so you can then fill in the name of the person you think deserves that. And we have new prizes this year. We have, of course, the official Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug. We have a pair of MM Barbecue tickets to sit in the Coolest Teacher section, a Coolest Teacher t-shirt to wear to the show, and a $25 gift card to Acme Markets.
That's insane.
Local flavors. Yep, absolutely. So Upper Perk, it's up to you guys. Now, we have a concert announcement coming up.
Yeah.
It says 7 o'clock.
Anytime after 7.
All right, so you want to do it at the top of our next break? Or
for sure. Okay.
All right, so why don't we do that?
Tease them.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back with that information. And also, don't forget, friends, final week for the Preston and Steve Money Clip. The money can be yours, but you got to play to win. We'll be back in just a moment.
93.3 WMMR presents...
You answered the phone. Who the F is this, right?
Yeah, I did.
Preston and Steve's Money Clips.
The phone kept ringing, and then I kind of lost it a little bit. So I'm beyond embarrassed.
Don't worry, it's our little secret.
Your shot at stuffing $500 in your Money Clip.
I've never won anything. I can't believe it.
Up to 7 times a day. Weekdays.
You made my week.
I sure the f*** hope we have.
See official rules and details at WMMR.com.
Congratulations, and thank you so much for listening.
MMR. Our rocks. Thank you very much.
Sponsored by Hyundai City, South Jersey's official Hyundai headquarters.
93.3 WMMR.
Take care.
You too. Thank you.
F*** off.
You too.
Everything.
Who the f*** is this?
That rocks.
Few things going on. We have to make an announcement. We're doing a concert announcement. Oh, we do that now, Casey?
Yeah, we should do it, right?
Okay. I need the...
Let's take our clothes off.
I need the information.
Well,
I
got to make sure I got it. It's all up there.
All right. Well, this is kind of a follow-up concert announcement because there's going to be a second Genesis.
What?
That is correct.
Oh! Wrong song.
It will be a second.
This is my favorite Genesis song.
Woo! Yes. There we go. Genesis is going to be playing another show, and this will be night number 2, Friday, December 3rd, 2021, at the Wells Fargo Center. And tickets are going to be on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. So this has become one of those shows where people are just buying tickets left and right, even though they're not cheap tickets.
They're pricey, for sure. Yeah. But, of course, people are just chomping at the bit, as they say, to go see Genesis, to go see anything, for Christ's sake.
I love that. So, once again, it's going to be December 3rd, this particular show. Tickets will be on sale this Friday at 10 a.m., WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. There will be a pre-sale, by the way, at WMMR.com on Thursday.
Nice.
You can get the complete details at the website, and then listen to Pierre and us here on the Preston and Steve Show for your chance to win tickets.
Do you think Lily Collins will be there, Preston? Do you think she'll show up?
Lily, you know what? I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure if she goes around and checks out her dad's show.
I'm sure she does. What does she have to do?
So, once again, let me reiterate. It's Genesis, again, Last Domino Tour, night number 2. The first show is sold out. So, Friday, December 3rd, Wells Fargo Center. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. But make sure you go to WMMR.com because there will be a pre-sale on Thursday and all the details will be there. Pierre's got tickets. We have tickets. We'll give them away this week.
Excellent.
So listen up for your chance to win. So I have a handful of stories about people who died recently.
Are you saying it's time for the necromancer?
The necromancer. I think, yes, it is time to...
From the crypt he comes... The bringer of news of death. He is the necromancer. Right this way.
So, We'll start with, we already covered one earlier.
Notice but... his gray pallor and his languished tone.
There was a gentleman named Helmut Jean.
Yeah.
I guess is how you say his name. Or Helmut, H-E-L-M-U-T. Is that Helmut?
Yeah, Helmut.
And Jan is maybe how you pronounce his last name, J-A-H-N. He was a German-born architect, and he was the gentleman who designed One Liberty Place.
Oh, wow.
In the Philadelphia so skyline.
He changed the skyline. And yeah. You know what? People come down here. And they, I always hear it from people who are visiting, wow, that your skyline's really cool. It's a nice looking skyline.
Yeah.
Some cities do not have that.
It didn't used to be.
It didn't used to be, right. No. So he was instrumental in changing that around, Nick.
Him and Willard Rouse. I mean, I remember, Casey, I'm sure you do too, but growing up, that was a huge deal when that announcement got made that they were going to go taller than Billy Penn. And when Liberty Place was going to be created, there was a lot of controversy. There were some traditionalists who didn't want that to happen. I think it's for the better for the city. I think the city looks a lot better with the result of Liberty One being up there.
He was 81 years old. By the way, he died on Saturday.
Yeah.
He was riding his bike in Chicago. He was struck by two cars.
Oh, man. Oh my God.
No.
Horrible accident. God.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Mr. Jan, who moved to Chicago in 1966 to study architecture, was already a rising star in the mid-80s when he was approached by the Philadelphia development company Rouse and Associates and asked to design a marquee skyscraper that would exceed Philly's traditional height limit for tall buildings. And so at that time, the city had maintained, which was an unwritten gentleman's agreement, that obliged designers to defer to City Hall's tower to keep their high rises shorter than the statue of William Penn, Billy Penn's hat.
Yeah.
The front of the hat. And it was a rule that had produced a pretty dreary skyline, just flat topped 40 story buildings. But Mr. Jan's design for a skyscraper crowned with a neo deco cascade of chevrons was crucial in helping Rouse and Associates convince hesitant Philadelphia officials to abandon the height limit. And that's what did it.
I heard it was modeled after the Chrysler Building.
It was, yes. They wanted to go with something similar to that shape.
You know, the funny thing is that if you see the scene in the original Rocky where he runs up the steps and turns around and looks at that skyline, it was kind of drab.
Yep. Yeah, for a long, long time. Did he design Liberty 2 as well?
I don't think so, Nick.
No, I don't think.
I think I was reading a little bit further on, and they moved on.
That was Lauer and Associates.
Lauer and Associates did the Liberty 2.
Gary's father.
It's funny. For as much as I like Liberty 1, I always thought Liberty 2 looked a little stunted. Like it looked like a twin tower that didn't quite reach its potential.
Yeah. Well, you know what you want, at least. And I'm pre-med. I'm not an architect. But I can tell you this. I like that sort of ascending. That the crop of buildings in the middle of the city to be the tallest, you know, out. It gives it character.
Jan Helmut was the architect for Liberty, too.
Okay. I was incorrect. Thank you. They do have a similar appearance, obviously. They look like, kindred buildings. But any other building at that time, it was twice as tall as any other building in the city.
It was
completed in 1988. It was 945 feet tall.
Yeah. You know, it's wild to be in the Comcast, either of the two, looking over at that, and, because obviously they blew that out of the water.
Yeah, Liberty One has the observation deck up there now, and it's great. I did it 2 or 3 years ago, and you get, obviously, great views, and we got to do the new Comcast building a couple of years ago, and that was really fun as well. I love being able to get up high in any city. It just gives you such a cool perspective. Mm-hmm. There's a great writer. Her name is Inga Saffron. She writes about Philadelphia architecture, and she'll find really weird old buildings in Philly. I mean, there's so much interesting architecture in our city. Some of it's bizarre. Some of it's, quite frankly, hideous. But she wrote about Helmut Jan's passing yesterday and paid a nice tribute to him.
So with that building standing the way it did, it single-handedly reoriented the Philadelphia skyline and shifted the visual center from City Hall to a little further out west. While Mr. Jan had built signature skyscrapers in many other cities, all in the same neo-deco style, One Liberty Place is still considered his finest high-rise.
You guys ever eat at R2L by any chance?
I did. Yeah,
it's
really
cool.
Shell and I had dinner there one night. It was awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If for those of you who don't know, it's a restaurant basically at the top of 2 Liberty Place.
Yep.
And it's a fine dining establishment, but I mean, just these beautiful.
It's as good. It's as good a view as you could possibly get.
Yeah. Well, now I love that.
Yeah. Now that the Four Seasons is at the top of the second Comcast tower, that adds another. Restaurant. Yeah.
I dig those, you know, top of the world sort of views. I'll say this, you know, the look of, I mean, lit up at night, the city looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd like to see more popping up like that.
You guys ever been to a rotating restaurant before?
Yeah. I love them. I remember as a kid, we went to one, I forget exactly where it was. But I thought it was like you're at an amusement park. You almost, you know, raise your hands up as you're going around, but it's so awesome.
It's weird. The whole floor spins around.
I
think the Space Needle in Seattle does.
It does. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. And I've been up in that one.
Nice.
The Purple Orchid does as well.
Yes. Purple Orchid
spins. Yeah. The entire thing spins around the center pole.
I didn't know that.
If the needle in Vegas does, then I was at that one.
Is that the one that has a roller coaster?
Yes.
Well, it might now.
Okay.
It didn't when I was there.
Could you imagine, though, on this thing and what he was doing, what this gentleman did, you know, that because I went to a school that was broadcast and media and architecture. Those were the two main thrusts of this school's curriculum. And you'd see these, you know, to do something, to first a blueprint, a drawing, and then a rendering in a smaller scale, and then see that become a full-blown...
Yeah.
Huge building has got to be something amazing.
Anything that goes from design to commercial release, I'm blown away by concept to you know, schematics and all the things that need to be put together and taking those steps to eventually prototype. And I'm fascinated by that.
Think about when you did your house your houses were being built and you were selecting things like doorknobs for the bathroom. Think about that. On a high rise.
I think I cried when I was picking doorknobs. I was like, I don't know.
I can't do this.
I don't know why. There's so many options.
Listen, this is 90 stories. Make a decision.
You know what? Where my mind goes to on occasions when I think about, you know, creation of products and things like that. Or, okay, so, you know, like I remember looking at like my refrigerator and going, okay, so the handle on that. Refrigerator had to be created, and it had to be made with a machine. Yeah. But they had to make a machine that could make the handle, and they had to make a machine that could make the machine that could make the handle.
To make the parts for the machine.
Yes.
And that should blow your mind. Yes. A lot of times it doesn't. You should just sit. Every time you go home, you should get on your knees and kiss the floor.
Damn right.
For all the craftsmanship that went into it.
So some sad news. R2L has closed permanently. The one in 2 Liberty. Yeah. And then some people are texting in saying that the observation deck in 1 Liberty is closed, although I don't know. It closed because of the pandemic last year. I don't know if they plan on reopening that or not. It closed in September of last year.
There are plans, Nick, to keep one of the, like at the top of the Four Seasons, that the restaurant remains in place, but the entire city will rotate around it.
Okay.
So, right. But they're trying to figure out how they will pull that off.
It looks like this closed last June, Nick.
So we're top of this.
Michael Klein had written that. But I mean, listen.
R2L, he did, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Do you know people who freak out? Like, anyone who has any issues with height, if you go to a revolving restaurant, it's going to be extraordinarily bad.
There's been a couple of times where I remember being at this restaurant. Was it RL?
R2L.
And getting kind of that vertigo sensation
I
got up to go to the bathroom, you know, and walking by because it's all the way around. You know, you can see all the way around.
It spins at about, 30 miles an hour?
No, this doesn't spin.
Oh, okay.
But just walking being up that high because I'm not used to being up that high.
I would love to. That's what we need to do, Preston. Before we end our broadcast careers, design a rooftop restaurant that revolves at 30 miles an hour.
At 30 miles an hour.
Well, would that be awesome? So that
Well, you know what? All your drinks are served in an angled glass because the centrifugal force
so they're all slanted
sideways. So,
but all right. So here's a different take on the spinning restaurant, and they this was purchased for me last year, but because of the pandemic, it didn't actually happen. But the Ferris wheel at Maury's Pier, they do breakfasts there.
Do they?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like it, that too.
Okay. Well, anyhow, this gentleman who was integral in the recreation and reimagining of the Philadelphia skyline, Helmut Jahn, has passed away. 81 years old in a tragic accident, too. That's terrible.
Yeah, and apparently he was fit. He was out riding his bike.
Yeah. All right. Somebody else died. It was sad to hear this guy's passing, but...
Someone else has hurled off the mortal coil.
Yes.
Who will that be, Necromancer?
A gentleman by the name of Paul Van Dorn. I'd never heard of him before.
Why does that sound familiar?
Well, it wouldn't be because of what he did, because it's just one of those things you're like, oh, really, that guy? Co-founder of the Vans company.
Oh, yeah.
Whose iconic Southern California sneakers were beloved by skateboarders and became an international success. He died. He was 90 years old.
So I don't necessarily know if you can call it a resurgence, but... I'm just going to say that.
Call it a comeback.
They have had a major resurgence over the past year
Vans,
or two.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'll go through the story because they there was a time when they went bankrupt and it was going to be gone. And they bounced back and now they're just huge again.
Is the Vans store still in? There's no...
Yeah, at the Philadelphia outlets, there's a Vans store.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there used to be one in KOP, right? But it's not anymore.
I don't know.
Okay.
Not sure. So the company, based out of Southeast Los Angeles, announced Van Dorn's death on social media on Friday. They didn't provide any details. He had turned a family shoe business into a globally recognized brand. Van Dorn was a high school dropout. He moved to Southern California from the Boston area. He and his brother James, who passed away in 2011, and business partners Gordon Lee and Serge Delia, opened the Van Dorn Rubber Company. Van Dorn. Vans. You get it?
Yes.
I didn't even think of that. So they used the name. They opened up the Van Dorn Rubber Company in Orange County in 1966, making and selling their own shoes. At first, they struggled to produce enough of the product to fill the shoe boxes on store shelves. Van Dorn had two decades of experience in shoe manufacturing, but none in retail, he recalled. The first person, he said, gave me a $5 bill. A pair of shoes was $2.49. this was in an interview, actually, he did last month after he released his memoir, which is called Authentic. He said, but I didn't have any money in the cash register, so I just gave her the shoes. We ended up selling 16 or 18 pairs of shoes that day, and he said, you know what? I said, come back later and pay. And he said, every one of those people came back and paid.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And the brand loyalty then.
Van Dorn's son, Steve Van Dorn, and his father, he said his father's acumen helped make the business a success. He said, my dad was a systems guy. He said he did things like color coding the boxes, blue for men, green for women, and orange for boys, so you could see what inventory you had right away. And he would only open stores that had a free right-hand exterior wall.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he thought that was the best place to catch someone's eye if they were driving by.
Wow.
So when did it make that jump and become such a part of the skater?
I'll get to that. So Van Dorn also allowed people to order customized shoes, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
He expanded the customer base by allowing various designs to be sold everywhere from surf shops to department stores. In Authentic, his memoir, Van Dorn said the key to success was to give customers what they wanted. He said if it's a checkerboard, if it's bright pinks and yellows, or if it happens to be dinosaurs or a skull and crossbones, listen to their 2 cents worth about colors and designs. The shoes with their canvas tops and tough diamond pattern rubber soles caught the fancy of skateboarders. The company, which kept a sharp eye on trends, was quick to catch on. He said everybody else was kicking these kids out of the park, kicking them out of the pools. And here's a company listening to them, backing them, and making shoes for them.
Wow.
The company said professional skateboarder Stacy Peralta, they had paid him to wear its shoes. Vans also sold shoes. And I love this. They sold shoes individually. You could just buy a right shoe or a left shoe.
Stop it.
He said because it benefited skateboarders who tended to wear out one at a time because it would drag one of their shoes.
Yeah.
And then they'd have one good show and one worn one. And so they were selling them one at a time.
That's smart. Brilliant. It's smart stuff. And then, of course, you remember the Vans Warped Tour, right? They were the
girls. Yes. Yeah. But the brand's popularity absolutely soared after Sean Penn wore a pair of checkerboard slip-ons in the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, my gosh.
That's when it caught my eye.
Wow. Yeah.
That's absolutely the moment where I was like, saw that it took off from there. Cause,
so what?
It was the checkerboard.
70s.
What, that was 70s?
Yeah. No, it was 1982.
Oh,
well, Fast Times at Ridgemont High came out in 82?
Yep.
Wow, huh?
Yep. So that's when it took off. However, knockoffs and competition ate into Vans profits, along with misguided efforts to expand the range of its offerings with specialized shoes for football, basketball, skydiving, and even breakdancing. The company was forced into bankruptcy protection in 1984. That's how quick it happened. And was sold to a banking firm in 1988. Over the years, the brand's popularity waxed and waned, losing ground to newer, high techier kicks, and regaining it when retro came back into fashion. The firm, renamed Vans Incorporated, went public in 1991, and in 2004 was sold to VF Corp of Denver, which owns a large number of footwear and apparel brands, including Dickies, JanSport, Timberland, and North Face. Today, Vans produces its shoes overseas. It continues to sell its traditional designs while also keeping an eye on trendsetters by collaborating with designers, skateboarding, BMX, and surfing pros, and other celebrities. They rack up around $2 billion a year in sales.
So it's one of these fly-by-night companies.
And the shoes have been seen on the feet of Justin Bieber, Kanye West, and even the Kardashians.
Well, you had me at Bieber.
So they're still relevant. And
you have a pair, right? The Eddie Van Halen ones?
I do, yeah.
Those are cool. And then so obviously he got some... you know, some kind of a deal to market those.
I need to get more of them. I've sworn off. Who was I talking to the other day? I was talking to somebody else. Dave Cruz from XTU.
Yeah.
We both no longer buy shoelaces. We no longer get shoes for shoelaces.
You've given up on shoelaces,
I give up on shoelaces, man.
Look at you.
Screw that.
Are they comfy?
F shoelaces.
The ones I wear are comfy, but, but the Vans, I don't know. They're kind of flat.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, they're not like, at least
they're like Chucks.
I have one pair, and for me anyway, I don't know if it's the shape of my foot or whatever, but after like a long day, they'll actually hurt. The top of them hurt.
You probably, do you have that device that helps you put on your socks too, Preston? That that extended thing that you see? You ever see that thing that they sell on TV?
No. What is it?
It's a device that helps you put on your socks.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
You know what? I think we talked about that.
And
one
a shoehorn that's like 2 feet long, so you don't have to bend over.
I wouldn't
much.
Mind a long shoehorn. Yeah. That'd be okay.
Yeah,
but I can put my own goddamn socks on.
I have laces, but it's not a traditional lace. It's the little nubby that you pull.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just tightens up.
Gotcha. I got my wife a pair of
F laces.
Vans, and I love the way they look on her. I really do. They're really, really cute.
They're comfortable too.
My feet were not designed for shoes like this.
Right.
You're more a stiletto guy.
I'm more of a stiletto guy. I need to have that kind of like natural arch.
I think so, and it makes your booty pop.
It does, but I don't do it for that.
You do it for me.
But what a cool legacy. This guy, this Paul Van Doren,
high school dropout,
90 years old,
had an idea.
Yeah,
and he was probably a good 20 years older than the audience he was going for, but it just. By attrition, he got it. It spoke to a whole generation. That Vans Warped Tour was really cool, but that was more after he'd left the company, correct? Or the company had left him?
I was sold in the 80s, so yeah. I don't know what, you know, he held on to as far as creating the brand and what he got from that, but I'm sure he, you know, wasn't high and dry.
Well, they used to have good, you know, good bills.
Marissa?
The Warped Tour was his son.
Okay,
so son, okay.
If you watch any documentaries about Warped Tour, they always talk about Van Doren, and they're talking about his son.
All right.
He runs it.
Steve Van Doren. Yeah. Okay, nice. But, I mean, and you know what? And you think about people such as this guy, I have gained such an appreciation for the product developer ever since Shark Tank appeared on television.
Yes.
Because I had no idea. I mean, I knew, obviously, you had to work to get things done. But the complexities of creating a product, marketing that product, being successful from that, and managing everything right to where you don't mess it up is huge. It's the backbone.
I agree 1,000%. There was a guy who was over at my house over the weekend. He was setting the inverters, our air conditioning system, taking care of everything. And he and his girlfriend started. You know, she had a family recipe for banana pudding. And so he that whole process, it's called Amazing Treats. And he set up with his girlfriend this business. They get it out to the stores. They, you know, the labels, the whole thing. And it's taking off. But I mean, that whole thing, Preston, every step of that, the container, how do you get it out there? How do you purchase the goods to make it? All of that stuff.
You're doing all of this stuff, right? All of the market research, all of the grunt work. And then you have to hope that...
It takes.
That, well, like A, that. That not only it takes, but if it takes, that you can still Like, if it's that good of a product, that somebody else that has more means doesn't come in
and blow it out
and
of the water.
Blow it out.
No,
of the water.
I know,
right?
It's yeah. it's but when it hits and when you see somebody making it work, like look at Vance. Oh,
you all right, Kathy?
Okay. There was a near tragedy here, Preston, to the right of us.
Got some, what happened?
Coffee Village.
Oh, no, we're good.
All good.
It's okay. It's your own computer. We
it's
don't
spilling. All right. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. Now
we shall miss you.
We only have time, a little bit more time, right?
Just a little bit of time.
Yeah. So I'm not going to talk about someone who died. I had Marissa grab a couple of excerpts since we're talking about people dying and death. Steve sent over a video to me of a mortician answering people's questions about his job.
And they're good questions.
They were. I only got a chance to see a couple of them. And so I told Marissa quickly, could she just grab a few excerpts of this?
Cool.
So we could hear him answering these questions. So I don't know what all she grabbed.
I think this is Vice did this, I think.
So these are very, very short. So this says, mortician was asked, did you include the questions, Marissa, or just his answers? Yes? Okay, let me play this clip and see what it says here. Hang on.
When we have a deceased loved one, they're going to look very, very pale because the blood has stopped circulating. So when we put in the red blood, the red fluid, rather, that's actually going to pink them up in some ways and make them look a little bit more alive.
Okay, so I assume the person asked if there were different colors of the liquid that they put into the dead body.
The fluid.
Put a colored liquid in there. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
So that the complexion would be different.
Yeah, because you, yes.
It's from Wired, Steve.
Wired, I'm sorry.
Yep.
All right. And so people had had emailed in questions to him. And he's asking the questions and then he answers it.
Very informative.
Yep. Yeah, there was the show 6 Feet Under, which was out years and years ago. It's set at a funeral home.
Yeah.
And so some of these questions I'm like, oh, yeah, these were, I mean, over the course of the series.
Yeah.
You learn these things, you know, through the, you know, just through the regular dialogue of the show.
All right. This is about draining blood. Here we go.
Do morticians normally just drain the blood down the sink? The short answer is yes. All of our bodily wastes are disposed just like our normal bodily wastes. The sewer system that goes right to the water treatment plant.
Wow.
Ew.
Okay. But I guess that's the case. You crap down there, right? So
if you can crap there, you can bleed there. It's like a line from Predator.
I should have that on a shirt.
If you can crap there, you can bleed there.
All right. Here's a question about bras.
Do morticians put a bra on you? If so, I would like my rotting corpse to not wear a bra and would like my ghost to be wandering braless with poking nips. Well, Tiny Rain, I don't know if there's much I can do about poking nips, but we do put bras on if the family requests. And the reality is I've probably put on more bras than I have taken off in my life.
Nice.
I don't know if you have it there. It's one of the things that was isolated about Preston about contacts.
Yep, and that's this one right here. Here we go.
If a person wearing contacts dies, does the mortician take them out? Shower thoughts. Yes. Historically, I've always removed contact lenses because one of the things that we need to do, of course, is what we call set the features. Setting the features would mean that we close the mouth, and we also need to close their eyes. So we actually have a device that helps us do this. These are called eye caps. They're essentially spiky contact lenses that fit over the eyes and will actually grip the eyelid when we pull it down over those little burrs there. I typically remove contact lenses because those just get in the way of me doing what I need to do to set their features and provide a decent appearance for the family.
I wonder if there's ever been a time or was there ever a culture on Earth that
leaves the eyes open?
Leaves the eyes open.
Probably.
Yeah.
This is really morbid.
It is, isn't it?
It is interesting,
it's
though.
The necromancer. It's about death.
This is like...
Why don't you grow a pair?
No, I don't want to know these. I don't want to know that there's spikes in my eyes when you close them.
The first question asked was people asked if they clean your poop out of your body before they bury you. And he said, well, sometimes people do poop themselves and they die. Yeah. He said, if that happens, we'll clean that up. And if there is a backup in that cavity, they just run a hose through there.
Oh, dear.
And flush it out.
Goes down the blood and... All that other stuff.
Do you think they treat bodies that are going to be cremated the same way that bodies that are going to be
No.
They probably don't have to do display, as much.
Right? Yeah, we're just going to burn it.
Yeah. Chuck it on a big fire.
Don't make no difference.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, these are some ashes I scooped up your loved one's probably in there someplace.
I think it really depends on whether or not there is still an open casket. Because I was just recently at a viewing for my uncle, and I believe he was going to be cremated, but there was also still open casket.
Really? Though. They did both?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never heard of that.
It's interesting, too, but throughout this video, the guy is actually very respectful about what he's talking about, because he is, and he talks about the emotion of what he's doing. But it is these things that I've actually always wondered that, like with contacts and with how, you do know, for example, when clothes are put on, they're usually opened up in the back. They'll cut them down, the back so they can get it over the body. But yeah, interesting stuff.
I'm just glad the cremation comes after the open casket. Because, before.
Before that.
What is this? Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. But it's interesting, though. You know what? We can post that video.
Yeah.
Because it's really, questions that I hadn't considered at all about that in preparation.
It's a bizarre thing. Right? Yeah. To prep. I used to do it in my act. It's the truth. When people get up and they say, when they're coffin side and they say, well, it looks so natural. Who looks natural and bombed, you know?
Yep, but it's a job that needs to be done.
It is.
And people take it on and they do it. So I thought it would fit properly within the necromancer. We haven't done that in
now
a while.
Now he returns to the crypt, sashaying over there in his We Are Philly t-shirt.
Wait, thank you for noticing, Mr. Announcer. We have money to give away. I want to make sure we got your shot at winning $500. So we are going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We will have that as well as the bizarre file. So make sure you stay with us. And we picked a school for coolest teacher. It's Upper Perky Omen High School in Pennsburg. If you go to school there, text the word teacher to 39333. We'll send you the voting link. You can tell us who the best was. We'll be back in a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, let's take a trip into the world of the bizarre.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Sequoia Outback. Don't miss Sequoia Outback's Memorial Day sale with everything that you need to take your outdoor space from taxing to relaxing. Route 309 in Hatfield or at decksupplies.com. Patrons at a restaurant in Taipei recently shocked to see cockroaches crawling all over the place after thousands of them were released on the premises by two masked men.
Uh-huh.
On May 4th, two masked men entered the G House Taipei restaurant holding large bags filled with over 1,000 cockroaches, which they simply released at the reception desk on the second floor of the establishment before fleeing the scene.
We're thinking a competing restaurant?
No, actually, it has touches of organized crime involved here. Yeah, roaches started crawling on the floor, walls, and furniture, and it wasn't long before patrons enjoying their meals there started noticing them as well. Among the diners were policemen. They were there at a banquet, and they immediately created a task force to catch the perpetrators. It was originally assumed that the cockroach attack was targeted at law enforcement, however. The police investigation found no evidence of this. Instead, it is now believed that it was just a bizarre consequence of a debt dispute between the restaurant owner and local criminals.
Were they able to arrest the cockroaches?
No. The five suspects, they don't have handcuffs on
that. That's right. They're very tiny.
The five suspects identified in the case, two masked men who released the cockroaches, two lookouts outside, and a getaway driver, are members of the Bamboo Union.
Bamboo Union?
An organized crime ring, which the restaurant owner allegedly owed money to. After their threats went unanswered, the criminals apparently decided to simply ruin the man's business. And that's what they did. So they told reporters, the owner, I believe, or no, the police chief told reporters that the bugs appeared to be Turkestan cockroaches bought from a Taipei store selling aquarium supplies. The insects are commonly used to feed aquarium fish and can be bought in fish stores and online. So they, thousands.
Hey, it could have been worse. It could have been Madagascar cockroaches.
Yeah. A bar owner who allegedly sold fake COVID-19 vaccine cards at his Northern California business has been charged with multiple felonies.
You knew this was going to happen.
Including forgery and identity theft. Todd Anderson was arrested Tuesday at his bar, the Old Corner Saloon. ABC received a complaint that fake vaccination cards were being sold at the bar and opened an investigation. In April, undercover agents were able to buy four fake cards from the bar as part of their investigation. They paid $20 for each card.
Yes, I'd like the card, but without the benefits of the vaccine.
It's not clear how many cards were sold in total. Agents found two completed cards and 30 blank ones and a laminating device. Agents also found an unregistered firearm with Anderson during the arrest at his bar.
You know, they're saying not to laminate your card.
I've heard that before.
Wait,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah. The updates. So, like, if you're going to get a booster in the fall, I got my vaccinations and I got it laminated. Yeah, and as soon as I got it done, I was told that was not a good idea, but whatever. Maybe we'll figure it out. Yeah.
In medical terms, suck it.
It's all fluid.
Yeah. Anderson faces three felony charges, including carrying an unregistered firearm, forgery of a government seal. That sounds pretty hefty.
Yeah.
And identity theft of Pfizer, CBS, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So he's going to be facing some serious charges. Here's a story with a local tie. Former Philadelphia Eagles defensive end Brandon Bear saved a man from a flaming semi-truck that had crashed into a train
in
Idaho. Bear, who played in Philadelphia for two seasons in 2014-2015, said that he was driving to his business on Thursday evening when he noticed the crash. Said there was an explosion right away and the train was pushing the truck down the tracks.
Wow.
He said, I got on the phone with 911 and I started driving down the median to get to the front of the train when it stopped. As the 6'6", 260-pound former lineman approached the scene, he heard the voice of 25-year-old Stephen Jensen inside the truck and made a conscious decision to help. He said, I ran to the window. I saw dripping hot flames all over the inside of the truck. I could see a guy in a seatbelt and was able to reach in and get it off of him. He was talking and I told him that we had to get out of here now. Blair climbed halfway into the vehicle to help Jensen break the steering wheel and other equipment before pulling him out of the rear window between the passenger and the driver's seat.
Man, this guy got the right guy to help him.
Yes,
yeah, I'm surprised he didn't stop the momentum of the train.
He said, we walked away, and within seconds, the fire on the roof fell down inside, and the whole seat and cab went up in flames.
We got to go.
A few minutes later, there were a couple of big booms and explosions, he said.
Wow.
Once emergency responders arrived, Jensen was airlifted to a hospital in the area and was in stable condition on Friday morning. According to a hospital spokeswoman, Blair didn't consider himself a hero, but was glad that he could help.
I'm surprised Blair just didn't throw him to the nearest hospital.
Right. I want to make sure I got the name right. Was it Bear or Blair?
Bear.
It was Bear. Sorry. Yeah. So, how about this? An Irvine man was arrested on fraud charges Monday after authorities say he used $5 million in pandemic relief loans to buy luxury sports cars, take lavish vacations, and cover his personal expenses.
Oh, that's great.
Mustafa Kadiri.
I'm on easy street.
Submitted bogus applications for federal loans under the Paycheck Protection Program on behalf of four Newport Beach businesses that he purportedly ran.
Why should this go to people who need it?
None of those businesses are currently in business. Federal agents seized Ferrari, Bentley, Lamborghini sports cars that Kadiri had bought with the loan money.
Well, that would relieve a little bit of the COVID stress.
Along with $2 million from his bank accounts. I mean, like, he was
for
it. Yeah. Kadiri was indicted by a federal grand jury on four counts of bank fraud, four counts of wire fraud, six counts of money laundering, and one count of aggravated identity theft. His arrest is the latest example of rampant fraud that has plagued the federal program set up to relieve economic hardship caused by the pandemic. In California alone, officials have confirmed at least $11 billion in illicit unemployment claims. So, yeah, people are taking advantage this situation. All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, so you got, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 minutes to enter the word studio.
You can do it.
To win the $500. This is our final week of doing the Preston and Steve Money Clip giveaway. So text the word studio to 45911 or enter it through the MMR app or at WMMR.com. And you just might win the $500. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
Hey, MMR fans, this is Aaron from Lutz Dog Training. We specialize in all your dog training needs, from basic obedience to separation anxiety and aggression. We're located in Purvesey, and we service the Bucks County and surrounding areas. Please visit us at LutzDogTraining.com. That's L-U-T-Z, DogTraining.com, and tell us WMMR sent you.
Next message.
Hey, this is Alistair from Home and Apartment Maintenance Service. We specialize in apartment turnover, plumbing, electrical, drywall repair, floor installation. We service the Philadelphia area and the surrounding counties. We even go to Jersey. We've been in business over 10 years. 10 years, man! You can reach us at 267-418-1919. See you guys soon.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
All right, so we have a new Daily Rush video, and it is available for your viewing pleasure, and it is our interview with Dave Navarro.
Yeah.
Which was excellent.
He was great.
The description says, Dave reveals that he's obsessed with cuckoo clocks and that Hugh Hefner signed off on one of his tattoos. You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. And, of course, he's in Jane's Addiction. They'll be playing at the MM Barbecue. I got an email, which I'm going to pass along. I'm going to read part of it. It's kind of a lengthy email. It says, hey, Preston, my name is Rebecca Tomlinson. We just bought our tickets for the concert, and we're super excited, meaning the MM Barbecue. My husband, Bob, listens to you guys every day in his commute to Harrisburg for the National Guard.
Jeez.
And then she goes on to talk about, you know, some tough things that they've had to go through. He was diagnosed with fibro, got in a motorcycle accident. Their youngest lost her right eye in a freak accident. She ended up having to do some sewing to make ends meet. She said, I sewed table runners, made crafts just to keep us afloat. And then another thing happened, and they once COVID hit, she had to start doing more sewing. This time she made masks and scrub caps and only asked for donations. She said in 1 year, I made over 3,000 masks and about 200 or more scrub caps.
Jeez.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
So she goes on to ask for a bit of a favor. She said, I don't know if it's a lot to ask, but in July, it'll be 8 years that we're married, and I was hoping that I could somehow surprise him at MM Barbecue. And we're not going to be able to help you with this, unfortunately, but they want to meet a band.
Right.
This is something it's hard.
Yeah.
It's something that we can't facilitate, you know.
Even outside of COVID, it would be
but,
a problem.
Yeah, but she goes on to say, but if you guys just wait, if just a wave from you guys to the pit would be super cool. We got tickets in the 104 section. We figured that if we were going to enjoy the day together without three kids, three savages, she says, we should get decent tickets. So they did. But the reason I wanted to read this message is that hopefully by then in September, and I'm sure this is going to be the case, that we'll be able to meet you face to face.
Yes.
As we do an appearance as the Preston and Steve Show at the MM Barbecue.
I demand it.
We're at what we call the Blumpk Inn. For a stupid reason. But anyhow.
That's when you get oral service while you're on the bowl.
That's
that's
correct.
What a Blumpkin is.
So, Rebecca, we will be, getting a chance to say hi to anybody who wants to come by and say hello in person. So we would love it if you and your husband, Bob, would come by and say hello while we are there. And we'll have more details as we get closer to the show. It's a ways off. It's in September. So
yes.
We'll be good to go. So that was signed Rebecca Tomlinson, the underground seamstress. So I just wanted to pass that along.
Think of that story and think about how many people, how many families have gone through so much, you know, and making ends meet and piecing together things to get by. And it's just, that's amazing.
Yep.
And I give them all the credit in the world for that.
We're coming out of it.
Yeah.
This is great. So get set and you'll be able to come out and say hello to us when you go to the show. Today, it was, I guess, 25 years ago today or recently within the last week or so.
I think it's today. It's a magical day, or at least a magical time. You can sort of feel it in the air.
Yeah, you even look outside and the trees are swaying, I think, in honor of the fact that it is the 25th anniversary of the movie Twister.
Yeah. A legendary film.
Oh, my God.
Legendary, horrible film.
I remember looking forward to going to see. I took my mom. She was visiting in town. And I took her to go see the movie, and the big hook were the effects.
That's it.
At the time, the effects were kind of groundbreaking, the CGI depicting these tornadoes.
And they were amazing for the time. They did a great job.
Yeah. It was such a stupid movie.
The whole concept.
It was just piss poor.
Yeah. the rival... storm
chasers.
There's the corporate storm chasers and the more grassroots in it for the love of the storm. The whole background story on Linda Hunt's character, Helen Hunt's Joe Harding.
Not Linda.
Yeah.
very, very different.
Yeah. So the Helen Hunt's story about her dad being sucked away in a twister while they were in the storm cellar, and she's always had this love-hate relationship with the storms. But the... It's horrible. But again, at that time, the effects-wise, you'd never seen anything like that.
No, effects-wise, so here's my vivid memory of this movie. Because if it was 25 years ago today, I was just getting done my junior year of college. I was a lifeguard, and I was at my boss, the guy who owned the company. I was at his house getting all the supplies ready to clean out pools. We did apartment pools. And he talked like this, like his voice was like this, right? And so it's me and my little brother, and we're power washing all this stuff in his driveway. And he goes, "I saw Twister last night, and those tornadoes were real." And he said that those tornadoes were real. He must have said that like a half a dozen times. My little brother, it was me and him, my younger brother, sorry. It was me and him. And so we will, I mean, even 25 years later.
If
the word tornado comes up in conversation, he and I will say, "Those tornadoes were real."
What was that guy's name?
I don't want to say his name.
What was his first name?
What was his first name? Last name?
You just know his last name?
Joe.
Okay.
Let's go with Joe.
Hey, Joe, how were those tornadoes?
Those tornadoes were real.
I love that story so much.
Was he suggesting that they had incorporated... was his point? Was that they were not created for the movie, that they were corralling tornadoes and using them in the film?
I think what he meant to say was those tornadoes looked real.
Real, okay. Right.
But he said that they were real. And he had like a real like affinity towards just weather. He loved weather.
He was a weather guy.
Yeah, he loved weather.
He's like Philip Seymour Hoffman in the movie.
Well, I mean, listen, he owned a pool supply and lifeguarding company, so weather was definitely.
What I really love is weather.
Yeah, weather's important to that line of work. Absolutely.
Yeah. Those tornadoes are real.
Oh my God!
I wonder if my
that's
brother's
great. Touching
me. It's almost kind of Don Nazi.
Yeah.
I just said Don Nazi.
Very different. Nash, nice and flying and flugelman. Andy.
Don Nazi.
Green citizens of Mayberry. I find nice and gloomy.
Oh my God, I didn't even mean to do that. Wow. Okay.
Bring Floyd in here. I have something for him to do. We got to talk about this Jewish thing.
All right. So the movie came out 25 years ago. We have some clips in honor of that. And by the way, our former intern and comedian Blake Wexler had tweeted, I can't stop. He had posted a screenshot of the rated PG-13 opening when the movie comes out.
Right.
And he wrote, I can't stop laughing at the reason Twister's PG-13 rating. It says on there, rated PG-13, intense depiction of very bad weather.
Oh, wow.
It's literally got 13,000 retweets and 131,000 likes. For whatever reason, that tweet went completely viral for Blake.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right, so you want to relive some moments?
Yeah, some of the classic. Of course, you want to go with the essential scene, the scene that is quoted. The bovine, airborne bovine.
Okay, here we go.
Oh.
think that was the same one.
Yeah, there's there were cows flying around in the air.
Yes.
The tornado had lifted them
cows.
Up. Hey, Joe, how were those cows, man?
Those cows were real.
Oh, my God.
And it was so it was Jamie Gertz and Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt all in the car riding away. And she's, if you don't remember the story, she still pines for Bill Paxton. They're going through a divorce, which you need to add that on because the storms aren't enough. These right. cataclysmic storms aren't enough to sell the drama.
I was just happy to see Jamie Gertz because I hadn't seen her in a long time.
Yeah.
I had a crazy over-the-top crush on her back in the day.
By the way, another case where she's completely fine. As she's a good person. She's involved. She's not like she's evil or bad.
Oh, yeah. Like, and she's the ex.
Right.
Yeah. Or wait a minute. No,
she's the
current.
New one. Yeah.
Helen Hunt was the ex.
Right.
That's right. All right.
But she didn't love storms the way Bill Paxton
All right.
Was.
Here's the explanation of the tornado scale.
Fujita scale.
Fujita scale. Yeah. Here we go.
That was a good size twister. What was that? An F3?
Solid F2.
See, now you've lost me again. Mm-hmm.
It's the Fujita scale. It measures the intensity of a tornado by how much it eats.
Eats?
Destroys.
Little encounter we had back there is a strong F2, F3 maybe.
Bet we see some F4s today.
That'd be sweet.
Four is good. Four will relocate your house fairly efficiently.
Is there an F5?
Everybody gets quiet.
Oh no.
What would that be like?
The finger of God.
None of you have ever seen an F5.
I'm sorry?
You shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have asked that question.
Just one of us.
Just one of us.
Guess who it is? It's Joe. She's the only one who's ever seen it. Mm. Up close. That's the one who took her daddy from her.
Mm-hmm. They all stop eating. You know? They all drop.
What'd you say?
They all drop their forks.
Are you goddamn crazy while we're eating? You dumb bitch.
Calm down.
No way. I have food in my mouth.
I just got mouths full of toaster pastries. Yeah, and wasn't the mother that made the meal that everybody loves, all the meteorologists?
Food!
Food!
Wait, I don't remember that.
That's Philip Seymour Hoffman's really excited about this. Philip Seymour Hoffman in his stoner days. And he's food!
Oh, my God.
I miss Bill Paxton, though.
It's great.
You know, I know this was a cheesy movie.
I miss Philip Seymour
Both of them, yeah, you're right. You know, it's a cheesy movie. When I saw it in the theaters, I loved it. It's not
really?
Yes. Because it was fun. And I got sold on the floating cows. I'm like, I'm definitely going to go see this. In retrospect, yeah, it's fairly terrible. But yeah. When I went and saw it in the theaters, it delivered exactly what I wanted.
I love that whole concept, though, that he sold out. He became a TV weatherman. It's like, man, you forgot where you came from.
We forgot to mention Cary Elwes.
Cary Elwes. Evil meteorologist. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Corporate.
I'm going to go to Ashley. Ashley, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
What's up, Ashley?
So you guys are giving me PTSD right now because this movie came out when I was 8, but I saw it on video, so maybe I was 9 or 10, and my aunt let us watch it. Me and my twin sister, we begged and begged and begged. And this movie has traumatized me for all of my life. I was deathly afraid of tornadoes. Like, in the movie, they just come out of nowhere, like, blue sky, and there's a tornado. And I literally used to sit by the window, stared, thinking a tornado was going to come and just, like, sweep me up and destroy my house. And to this day, I am terrified. I'm not scared of hurricanes. Nothing like that. No other natural disaster.
But the tornado. Yeah, well, it's funny how that stuff that catches you about that age, that traumatizes you, sticks with you.
Yeah, absolutely. My sister was the same way about tornadoes as a kid. It was just this ever-looming fear.
It
could happen any time. Could rip your house right off of the ground.
At least with a hurricane, there's a giant warning, right? You see this giant wall of storm coming.
Well, and then this is just, you know, you have seconds. And that was the whole idea because, you know, they designed... Joe had designed that, was it Dorothy was the thing?
Uh-huh.
That these little sensors that would go up into the storm and so they could predict them earlier. And that was the problem is that they were, you know, they had just a few minutes in many cases before the tornado starts. The one that happens at nighttime is very cool.
Ashley, does your family think you're crazy?
Oh my, it was a thing when I was younger. Like, I just used to sit by the window and scared. Like, that movie made me cry.
Wow.
Anytime there's, like, a tornado warning in my area, like, I live up here in Pennsylvania. They live in Virginia. Like, I call one of them, like, my mom and my sister, and I'm like, yay, got a tornado coming.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the movie that's playing on the drive-in screen is The Shining, right? When the tornado hits at night.
Yeah, because Jack does the Here's Johnny scene, and then the tornado starts ripping the screen down the drive-in.
Right. Yeah. Wait, Jeff wants to point out something specifically from the movie. Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Yo, guys.
Yo, Bob. What's up?
Best part of that whole movie was at the very end when they go into that little shack out in the middle of the field and all those knives and all that crap are all hanging all over. And
That's right.
Who are these people?
I don't remember. You guys got to bring me back up to speed on the...
Well, it was like the most dangerous shack on the planet.
Thanks, Chef.
Especially if any wind was coming through, because it was like literally sharp objects.
Axes, shovels, spikes, sickles, everything in this room. Yes. And they're like, okay, this. And even outside it says, in case a tornado, do not come in.
Right.
But,
All right, here's another clip. This is, which one is this one?
This might be Bill, the explanation of Bill Paxton's nickname.
Oh.
Bill.
The Extreme, right?
Yeah.
All right, here.
Yeah.
Oh, that was his name.
Yeah,
oh,
wait till you
get this one near Dalton, right?
Oh, God. We're way too close, and Joe's got the vid on it. She's filming it, right? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this shitty-looking Green Valiant comes pulling up right in the way.
She starts yelling, and this loser stumbles out of the car. He's got, like, a bottle of Jack Daniels in his hand.
He's naked.
Whoa. He is butt naked.
Naked.
Not naked.
I was not naked.
He's without apparel.
Half naked.
Naked.
So Joe's yelling at him to get out of the way, right? he strolls up to the Twister and he says, have a drink. And he chucks the bottle into the Twister and it never hits the ground.
Oh, shut up.
Twister caught it and sucked it right up.
Honey, this is a tissue of lies. See, there was another Bill, an evil Bill, and I killed him.
What? Listen to these guys partying, and think of what you're hearing there. These are storm chasers. These are meteorologists. And then think of Glenn Hurricane Schwartz.
Right. I think we only have one more clip left. And...
Oh, we do.
That
might have been it.
Oh, no, that was it.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. No, it says Paxton and Hunt fight over about her tornado fixation.
Oh, that's right. Yes. This is where towards the final. It's not over yet?
No, it's not over yet.
Okay, so it's the final. I think it's the final scene where she's, she keeps driving towards, she keeps going towards the storm. And he's like, this thing is inside of you that you got to fight. And isn't she the one? I love the line where her aunt says to her, after the tornado has decimated the aunt's house, you know, she did all these mobiles and these wind chimes and stuff that must have annoyed the F out of her neighbors. And she says, only you can stop it.
Only you.
Yeah.
You can stop the tornado.
You can stop the tornado.
Mm. Yeah, the tornado, I mean, which, by the way, is there's just this vast land that the tornado can hit. And it just so happens that it gets the aunt's house while they're all there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody.
That's... The finger of God, man.
The finger of God.
I still enjoyed it, though.
Did you really? Okay. All right. So I even remember leaving going, well, okay. That was, I mean, the effects were cool. The rest of it, I was like, that was really dumb.
Here, if you want to hear their.
All right, here we go.
Their
what is wrong with you? We can still do this.
Jesus Christ, listen to yourself. You're obsessed.
You've never seen what that thing is. You're so talking to me. You've never seen it.
I'm gonna kill you!
What's
wrong with you?
And miss that house and come after you.
Christ, Joe, is that what you think it did?
All right, and then don't they, to ruin things here for this movie 25 years later, don't they end up together?
Oh, yes, of course.
And Jamie Gertz gets scooted along.
You remember the little plot twist? That the tornado they fight at the end is the one that killed her father.
What? No.
Wait a second.
I'm like, I'm back. I remember you, little girl. I'm going to eat you the way I ate your father. I remember ripping your father out of the storm cellar, and now I'm back for you.
Now, I remember that they held on to, like, some plumbing or something.
Yeah,
like
that would work.
Yeah.
There was a pipe in the ground.
Yeah, the
and
whole...
And they tied themselves to it.
Everything gets ripped out.
Yeah.
You know, the whole shack or whatever they're in gets yanked off in there.
They don't get pelted with anything, by the way. So all the debris doesn't pelt them at all in this twisting tornado.
Yeah.
They just lift up. Their feet are going up into the sky.
Right.
They're tied to this thing. Mm-hmm. Their arms don't get ripped off. By the way, the same sort of tornadic force that can propel a truck up off a highway wouldn't be able to tear their arms off.
And it just blows houses apart.
Yeah.
But you guys would be surprised how many people are texting in on how this is their favorite movie.
Yeah.
Or that it's their
I don't even get why we're
best
talking
movie.
About it.
It's the 25th anniversary.
We're talking about it because
they're real.
Who cares?
I mean, come on, Kat.
Those tornadoes were real.
Thank you, Don Nazi.
Oh, God.
I thought it was just so cheesy. I thought it was completely agreed upon on its cheesiness.
No, man, I loved it. And it made a ton of money at the box office.
Oh, it was huge.
It was a huge hit.
And John DeBont, I think, was the... Wasn't he the director? And I think he directed a couple of blockbusters.
Yeah, he was good at bringing in some money. We haven't even talked about the Van Halen song at the end.
No, I don't remember the Van Halen song.
Yeah, it was a big hit for Van Halen. And
what?
I believe it was... Gary Cherone Van Halen, but I might
a big hit for him, huh?
Mm-hmm. Huge.
No.
Finger of God?
I don't remember that.
It was the Finger of God!
I don't remember that.
I don't remember. Finger!
Wow. Are you looking up the name of the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Here, hang on. Nate wants to chime in on that very thing. Hey, Nate, we just started talking about the Van Halen song. What are we missing out on here?
I just wanted to say about the Van Halen. There was a Van Halen song that was big. I don't remember the name of it, but it was awesome. That was the reason why I went to the movie.
Humans Being?
It's Humans Being. Chuck D'Amico's on the door.
It was Gary Cherone, right?
Do we have it?
No. It was Sammy? Okay.
Yeah, it was big for a while.
Yeah, I forgot.
Finger of God!
All right, thank you, Nate. Appreciate it.
All right, have a good day.
Finger of God.
God has huge hands. Bigger than the world.
Those tornadoes
are real.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, this is a good song, actually.
It was the last.
Ripping apart your farm. Tornadoes are real. Finger of God sticking it in the butthole.
Like living in the butthole of Earth.
Yes.
Wow.
This is actually, this was a good song. It didn't get a lot of.
No, it wasn't a giant hit, but
it was the last one that Sammy recorded with the band. And some people are texting and saying it actually broke up that version of Van Halen.
Wow, that song did?
Yeah, that did not go over. There was a whole lot of strife in the band at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they followed it up with the theme song to Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch! Turner and Hooch!
Do me a favor. Pull up, what year was that? 25 years ago would have been?
96.
What other movies came out in 1996? I want to see, Nick, if you don't mind, just doing a list of what was tops of the box office that year.
I will tell you this, at that point... Mm-hmm. DVD players had just started to come out. So when the I remember this is one of the first demonstration discs when DVD players were a thing.
It was second overall that year. Twister was.
Wow.
Number one, Steve, Independence Day. Third was Mission Impossible. The Rock came out. I saw all of these in the theater.
These are all good movies.
Yeah, oh, I love The Rock.
Nutty Professor.
Nutty Professor!
Yeah, Van Halen did the last song in Nutty Professor.
Happy Gilmore.
The happiest Gilmore!
Any other good ones?
We're like, Ransom was a good movie.
Swingers.
Mel Gibson.
Swingers came out. That's right.
The Birdcage.
The Edge.
Ransom was, give me back my son.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Wow, The Birdcage was 25 years ago.
Jesus.
That movie still holds up. That's a good movie.
That was another one I hated.
You hated
what?
The Birdcage?
Hated The Birdcage. Hated it.
Did you ever see the original, La Cage aux Folles?
No, you know what? When we talked about this and I told you that, that's the same comment you had to me.
Oh, okay. Because I think you might, they're different enough where you might like the original French version.
Better, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
Let's be honest.
La Cage aux Folles!
What is it you didn't like about it?
It was one halfway through, I was like...
Too macho.
I'm like, this is... I'm so bored with this.
Okay, wow.
It was too similar to The Rock.
It was one of the ones where, Pulp Fiction, too. I hated Pulp Fiction. I left the movie theater. It was the only movie I ever left.
Really?
But I went back and watched Pulp Fiction again, and I learned to appreciate it. I like that movie.
Well, kudos to you for revisiting it.
This one, I couldn't get through, revisited it again, still couldn't get through it. I was like, wow, no kidding. Not a fan of this.
I thought it was fun. All right, well, 96 is when that came out. It was, what else? First Wives Club.
First Wives Club!
Phenomenon.
Oh, that's a good movie. That's a junk food movie. That's like you love Kira Sedgwick in that movie. That's where he gets his brain. There's some sort of brain thing that makes him sort of a superhuman.
Yeah, Travolta had a resurgence after Pulp
Fiction.
It's like
I got a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
Wow. It's got a wow. totally got a tumor.
But who's that other actor that I love? The Apostle.
Robert Duvall.
I love him. Mm-hmm. Forest Whitaker's in it.
Forest Whitaker.
Well, Travolta had two big movies that year. Broken Arrow, which is a terrible movie, also came out in 96 and was 17th at the box office.
So Twister's going to Broken Arrow is going to be my Twister to you, Nick. It's a John Woo movie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mr. Holland's Opus came out that year. I really
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Being a band kid.
That's a good movie.
High school. That's one that I dug. And we actually got to hang out with somebody who was in that movie, Jay Thomas. We had dinner with him the one Steve, he was nice. Let's see, what else? The Cable Guy came out that year.
That was a weird year because that was a movie that was much. I think it's an underappreciated film.
I agree.
It is a darker humor in that movie. Carrie is playing a really dark character, but it's funny. And for me, the home run shot is when they go to the medieval times.
Yes. I was living in Los Angeles when that movie came out, and we went to go see
Cable Guy.
We went to go see Independence Day in the theaters, and it was sold out. So we went and saw Cable Guy instead. And I remember walking. First of all, I was disappointed I couldn't see Independence Day. Second of all, I remember walking out. I was like, "What the hell did we just watch?" Mm-hmm. But if you watch Cable Guy now, 25 years later, it was really prescient in its ability to predict where Cable was going, where the information superhighway was going. It was actually pretty impressive.
Hey, this is kind of surprising. So if you're just tuning in, it's the great anniversary of the movie Twister, 25th anniversary.
Governor Wolf is going to have a press conference later on to commemorate.
It was number two that year of movies. I'm looking at the other films and how they performed. At number 32, I was surprised it scored this low. Toy Story came out in 1996.
What?
But yeah, maybe the world wasn't quite ready for that yet because it went on to be.
It might have been that it was released towards the end of the year.
Mm, okay.
And so,
November 22nd.
Okay.
I saw another movie on there that is I love the movie Primal Fear. Do you guys remember that
I do remember that. That's a good movie.
Is that Richard Gere?
Richard Gere. Ed Norton.
Yeah.
That was one of Ed Norton's first.
Yeah.
I remember that's the first time I had ever seen him.
Yeah.
Yep. And Tin Cup came out that year, too.
Cup was real. That was a fun movie.
It was
real. It was real.
By the way, when Casey says that, he puts his hands by his sides.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like he pushes them into his, sticks his elbows out and goes, it was real.
Those tornadoes were real. Primal Fear. Ed Norton has them as a very diabolical character, right? He's completely psychopathic.
It's a good twist.
It's a twist.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a twister. It was real. Those tornadoes were real.
Dude. I can't believe we just met this guy.
I can't believe I never told
you. You've never
brought it up.
I love that.
Dude, that guy, man. He lived in this beautiful, huge home. I'm like, how the hell, like looking back on it, I'm like, how the hell did you just own a pool company? You know what I mean? Anyway.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, good on him.
My family money is real.
I want to get movie reviews from that guy.
Yes.
Other movies.
Other movies from Joe.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Anyhow, well, there you go. Twister, 25 years, and I think it's going to be on TV tonight. Somebody had texted in that they were going to watch it on whatever network, maybe AMC or something like that.
There's going to be some sort of presidential address about it as well.
Probably,
right?
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Maybe so. Oh no!
It was real.
I can't even do that voice. I can't even come close to it.
All right, I tell you what, I'm going to bring you up to speed on a couple things, then we're going to take a break. But we have reinstituted the Coolest Teacher of the Year contest. And it comes with it some new freebies, which is wonderful for those who are voted as the Coolest Teacher of the Year. And each day for the next couple months, we're going to draw a school randomly out of this big box of names that we have. And then we put it up to the students to vote for who they think the coolest teacher of the year, for whatever that means, was.
It's pretty amazing.
And the school that we chose is Upper Perk. So Upper Perk Yeoman High School in Pennsburg. It's up to you. You just text word teacher to 39333. We're going to send you the voting link, and then you follow through on that. And you have only 24 hours to do it, and we will also allow you to do it. To do it through PrestonSteve.com. And by the way, and I'll tell you what I'm laughing at in a second.
Okay.
The teacher that is voted the coolest will get the official Preston Steve Coolest Teacher coffee mug, a pair of MMRBQ tickets to sit in the Coolest Teacher section, a Coolest Teacher t-shirt to wear at the show, and a $25 gift card from Acme Markets, fresh food, local flavor. So get on that now. You have until about 6 a.m. Tomorrow to do it. Somebody was commenting on the text messages concerning Toy Story, and it says, those toys are real. Love it. All right, let's take a break and come back in a second and see what else we can get into, my friend. It's a Monday in all its glory. We'll be right back.
Rock Breakdown with Sarah hits on the casting of Pete Davidson as Joey Ramone in the upcoming Netflix biopic and Weezer's venture into vacuums, plus some updates to the Preston and Steve ringtone repertoire for your phone and why Brett Michaels preferred Slash over CC DeVille as guitarist for Poison.
We do another run at the Preston and Steve Money Clip coming up at 10 a.m. And don't forget that this is the final week of that.
That's it.
Do not miss the remaining opportunities. It's 7 times each day, Monday through Friday. So there's ample opportunities, but just don't miss those opportunities. And you know what you can do? You can go to WMMR.com, sign up to be an MMR VIP. I believe we get text messages, right? So we will let you know when you need to be ready and get on board for it. So there were a couple of stories that fell into this category, and we have not taken a trip to the stars in a while. So I think it is time for the Space Cowboy to make an appearance this morning.
That's you.
That is me.
You're everybody. You were the necromancer earlier.
Yes. And we haven't done that in a long time either. So.
No.
But I think
a lot of cool stuff.
There's always interesting stories about what's going on with space flight and space exploration.
And Kathy keeps sending them to you because she's like, can you believe this? Oh, my God.
Debris from the Chinese Long March rocket did indeed plummet to Earth over the weekend.
Did you see where it hit?
Went in where?
Yeah, it hit in the ocean, but it was close enough to an island chain.
Yes, it was in the Indian Ocean is where it went down. There was unconfirmed video that seems to show debris falling from the sky over the Dead Sea in Jordan. And the biggest piece of debris was about as big as a Mack truck. So it could have done some serious damage if it landed in a populated area. China's Manned Space Engineering Office claims most of the debris had burned up during reentry. But clearly not all of it did. I've not seen said footage that was mentioned in this story.
Neither did I. However, I know that they were catching crap because this was a booster rocket that was left up there.
Right.
There's a ton of debris. If you ever see that, there's a graphical representation of the amount of space garbage, space debris that is constantly orbiting the Earth.
And more every year.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it was just left up there?
Yes.
For some reason, I was under the assumption that it was something that had failed and had gone wrong. It was a mistake,
right.
Not necessarily just straight up negligence.
No,
and littering.
That's not what I understand.
No, it was one of the biggest uncontrolled objects from space to ever hit the Earth, by the way, and that includes meteors as well. I mean, because the size, or most stuff burns up, and some of the meteors that turn into meteorites. Or not that big, because they get, you know, shredded, ripped apart on entry. And but this remained fairly large. So, I mean, that as far as the engineering goes, usually they're pretty precise on
the trajectory that will leave it safe from reentering the atmosphere,
right.
Or if it does, they know exactly when and where it's going to land.
Or it'll burn up.
But sometimes there are mistakes are made, and they end up in a decaying orbit when it wasn't meant to be, and sure enough, it it ends up crashing down. Sorry.
What'd you lose?
I lost my marker.
My virginity.
No.
There you go.
Here we go. Sorry about that.
All right.
Watch my marker fell off of my...
you can't be a space cowboy without a good marker.
Well, around my neck, and it was going to mark stuff up all over the place, so I had to find it. But anyway, it made it down. It didn't hit ground. Nobody died. There were all kinds of bets and stuff. There were odds being taken on where it would land and so on. I remember the first time I remember something like this was Skylab.
Skylab, yeah.
Way back in the 70s.
There was a lot of concern over that.
Yeah.
So this Skylab bigger than this, though, right?
A lot bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot bigger.
I mean, this is just a booster rocket.
Yep.
So it's like 18 tons.
It's all good. We're safe. We're all good.
Yeah. All right.
What else have I for you?
Go outside now.
Let's talk Elon Musk for a moment. He was on Saturday Night Live over the weekend, and fans of the cryptocurrency Dogecoin have expressed their delight after he announced his rocket company SpaceX will launch a satellite called Doge One to the moon. Doge One.
Doge to the moon.
The U.S. billionaire also said the mission of the same name will be funded by Dogecoin. He suggested that it would involve sending the cryptocurrency itself into space. His tweet announcing the news received about 100,000 retweets within 7 hours of being posted. Dogecoin has plummeted. Dogecoin has plummeted in value over the weekend. After he had hosted SNL, fans had hoped that the price would actually soar, but cryptocurrency is infamously volatile, and it actually took a big, big dive.
He played a character on Weekend Update that was sort of mocking himself a little bit and talked about Dogecoin, and then Michael Che and Colin Jost kept asking him, but what is Dogecoin? And he never really had a specific answer. But there was, to me, really interesting crowd reactions to him talking about it. Like, there were these... I don't know if they were like bros in the audience or what, but they were like cheering him on when he would talk about being the Doge father. And it was a really odd dynamic. It was like rooting for a basketball player or something. I don't know. It struck me as odd. I don't know if they're probably investors. They look up to Elon. He's an interesting person, and he's an innovator in a lot of ways. He's also done some things that are pretty polarizing. You can't argue with his ability to affect the economy and do some pretty impressive things. But the way that he's become a bit of a lightning rod to me is fascinating.
Yeah. The Doge One mission itself will be managed by Geometric Energy Corporation, which is a Canadian technology company. In a statement, the company said that the mission will involve a cube-shaped satellite weighing around 88 pounds. And the satellite will then use sensors and cameras to obtain lunar spatial intelligence. So that's what they're sending to the moon.
I'll tell you what Elon Musk is, at least to me. He's more reminiscent of a Steve Jobs, but actually more capable. Steve Jobs was great at synergizing different things and creating stuff out of that. But Elon Musk can actually create the...
he does the science, right?
Yeah, the science. He's behind that whole thing. So it's interesting to watch him operate and to see the sort of the cult that surrounded Steve Jobs start to form for him.
The firm also said Dogecoin would be the unit of account between SpaceX and itself for business involving the moon.
So that vending machines on the moon will take Dogecoin?
Maybe that's what they're going to be doing.
Anybody got a Dogecoin?
Additional payload space on the mission will be set aside to include space plaques on which digital art will be stored.
Oh, man.
Yeah, right?
We are moving ever so swiftly into the Matrix, where everything is just within the computer.
Dogecoin is currently up 2.8% over the past 24 hours after crashing around 36% over the weekend.
Mm. Are you an investor, Case?
No, I have other cryptos, but not Doge.
A Doge?
No. Where I have my crypto, I can't, I don't have an option to buy it.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, you can get it Robinhood or whatever.
Robinhood is the big,
And
Robinhood is where they were talking about the big nosedive of Dogecoin over the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Something else here I found involves the moon as well.
The moon.
Our telescopes on Earth and in space may one day welcome a new companion, a massive telescope on the moon. And what's clever about the Lunar Crater Radio Telescope idea is that the LCRT would use an existing crater on the moon's far side.
To look at us?
So, no. It's on the far side. It'd be looking away from us. But the interesting thing about it is it would be the size of this huge crater.
That'd be amazing.
And it's a brilliant idea. Last Wednesday, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory announced the LCRT is receiving $500,000 in phase two funding from NASA's Innovative Advanced Concept Program. While it isn't an official NASA mission yet, the funding round is a vote of confidence in that idea. Last year, the LCRT earned $125,000 in phase one funding to explore the concept of sending robots to the moon's far side to build a telescope out of wire mesh suspended in a crater.
I love robots.
The moon is a tempting place to locate a telescope because it could shield the device from Earth's radio signals and it wouldn't have to contend with an atmosphere.
So we're looking at this right now, and it's similar to, you know, telescopes that have been built on Earth, but you're dealing with a lot less of the issues that an Earth-bound telescope like this would face, right?
Exactly, yeah. So it would actually be able to, I guess, see much more clearly, much more farther away.
I mean, the view of space gorillas would be as extraordinary on this thing.
The LCRT would involve sending robots to deploy a half-mile-wide antenna in a crater that's over 2 miles wide.
Give me the projected date on this.
Yeah. These are the early phases. Yeah, so yeah. We'll be long dead
before this is done.
Yeah, I don't know. NASA's JPL's due-axle rover could be the workhorse for the task to get it done. The rover can split in two.
Wow. Allowing one, like a transformer.
One part to stay on the crater rim while the other goes rappelling to lay out the wires. The new funding round will allow the team to refine the design of the wire mesh, investigate how to best use the due-axle rovers, and look into possible construction techniques.
So one robot gets to be lazy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and the other one does all the work. Exactly.
Come on, man.
I thought that was pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
I'd be
curious what kind of imagery we'd see from that side of the moon.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited
about.
Would
we see the other Earth that's directly on the other side of the
sun?
Yeah, maybe. All those things we can't see.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or the waiting Martian armada that sits, that's always in space what they do, right? They sit on the other side of the moon.
Yeah, the other side of the moon.
And mount their...
hide in the asteroid belt or strategy. Something like that.
Yeah. Have you guys ever heard of the term ultra-terrestrial?
Ultra-terrestrial? No, I have not.
Okay, so...
what does it pertain to?
Well, all right, so, you know, like recently, the declassification of those UFOs that were spotted over the ocean, the fighters,
the triangle looking things.
More importantly, this tic tac shaped one that goes to like insane amounts of speed in a relatively short amount of time.
Is it contained on that first naval footage that was released? Yeah.
So I mean, they were talking about how, you know, potentially that maybe it surfaced from the ocean.
I do know what you're talking about.
So extraterrestrial is, you know, coming from outer space somewhere, but the ultra-terrestrial is, you know, this notion that these things are actually
here on Earth.
They're already here and have been here and are just sort of monitoring.
Like Aquaman.
Yes. Well, I mean, essentially, yeah.
No, it's like The Abyss.
The Abyss.
Mm-hmm. Remember that movie?
Yes, but there are extraterrestrials, are they not?
I don't know, but Casey says they
could be ultra-terrestrials.
They had been there for a long time. They had a whole society under the water and everything.
How about that?
I'm guessing that's maybe what they are.
So there's this guy named Christopher Mellon who's been doing a podcast. He just did one with like Rogan. He did another one with Terry Virts, the astronaut that we have here in the studio. And so he, I guess, worked for, I don't know if it was a DOD. Either way, he was, you know, an intelligence officer, and so he was talking about this
FTD.
Sort of stuff. Possibly FTD. I don't know.
He's a fascinating guy. I've seen him interviewed, and he was talking about these beings that are, we believe, could be from inside the Earth or
if it was extraterrestrial. You know, I think a lot of people say, well, it's too far.
Yeah.
You know, even if you traveled at the speed of light or, you know, a quarter of the speed of light, it would still take you thousands of years to get here from, you know, another planet. But, you know, what if these things, these intelligent things that are coming here, aren't actually biologically based, that they're actually just probes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
There's also, Nick, you pulled up, what was that theory? Interdimensional?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Interdimensional hypothesis.
Yeah, that goes right along with Casey's talking about.
Okay.
Well, that's what Kathy and I were talking about over the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
She mentioned that to me. I was like, okay.
She just sent one text, interdimensional question mark?
Yeah.
LOL.
Do you know I've never written LOL? More on
never?
My speed is no.
You just refuse to?
I refuse to write LOL.
I like
I will
LOL.
I will use haha all the time, but I've never written out LOL.
Even when LOL was still surfacing?
I hate it so much.
Greg Giraldo does a great bit about it. He goes, well, are you really laughing out loud?
Yeah. I don't like teehee. I'm okay with LOL and I'm okay with haha.
What about hee-hee?
Yeah, I'm okay with hee-hee.
Teehee I hate the most. Hee-hee I hate second most.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
What about
ha-ha? Ha-ha I'm okay with. Okay.
What about multiple ha-has? Like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I like that.
Okay. That's more.
That's genuine, right?
That's sometimes it can be sarcastic, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know what? No, sarcastic is wah-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yeah, B-W-H.
Yeah. Like a little, there's a little evil tone to
right,
it.
Right.
But sometimes, Nick, I'll start my ha-ha with the H instead of the, with the A instead of the H.
Ha 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 No, not like that. It's like,
Yes, right. I was Preston, thinking, yes.
You know what? I bet ultra-terrestrials laugh that way. That's how you know. Then they get into their TikTok spaceships and
their tic-tac-shaped spaceships.
And fly 500 miles an hour.
All right, well, anyhow, in case you were wondering, I forgot the last thing I was talking about.
What were we talking about?
Oh, yeah. Space Cowboy. No, we were talking about a telescope on the moon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. All right, here's something else. Astronomers at Ohio State University have discovered what they say is the closest known black hole to Earth.
Oh!
About 1,500 light years away. They dubbed
that's
it
not
the,
that far.
They dubbed it the Unicorn. The nickname for the stellar mass black hole serves as a double meaning because it resides in the constellation Monoceros, which is Greek for unicorn. The name was also given due to its notably low mass for a black hole.
So it's a smaller black hole.
Which is still three times that of our sun in our solar system, making it essentially one of a kind.
Still pretty freaking big.
It is.
Freaking big. It's a freaking big black hole.
It's a unicorn. You've seen a lot of big holes.
Yeah, Don Nazi told me about it.
Duh.
Duh. He was the worst of the Nazis. Don Nazi.
The black hole appears.
Freaking Hitler lover.
Yeah.
Don Nazi.
That black hole was
right. This black hole's twice the size of the sun. Shut up, Don Nazi.
Mr. Fury. It's terrible. I couldn't say it.
That wasn't terrible.
It's not the same show, though.
No.
Yeah.
Same actor, guy.
Same actor.
I enjoyed it.
Duh.
Duh.
My God. Because black holes cannot be seen with the human eye, this one appears to be a companion of a red giant star, meaning the two are connected by gravity, but we can't see it with the human eye, so scientists use tools to measure light and other wavelengths in the surrounding area. The researchers on the project noticed that the red giant's light shifts in intensity periodically when observed, suggesting that the black hole is tugging on the star and changing the star for stars formed to reflect a teardrop shape.
So we're seeing a representation on a picture here in the studio, Preston. We are looking at the black hole to the left and then the what is being tugged on.
Yeah, that's the red giant. It's kind of being tugged on. It's getting a tug job.
Yeah, yeah.
And
celestial tug job.
Which that's how they can tell that there's one nearby is because it's making it oblong. It's so
the
much,
Julie jerk off.
The gravity is so strong on it. They're calling that the unicorn.
I didn't realize we had a black hole that close because that is. In
1,500 light years away, celestially, I guess is
that's
not
pretty close.
That far away, yeah. The
uncomfortably
second,
close.
Second closest black hole to our solar system is V616 Monoceros, which is roughly 3,5200 light years
away. Isn't that a Knack song?
No, that was My Sharona.
Okay.
Yeah. But let me tell you, I'll mention something about songs.
All right, go ahead.
Because Monasteros is Greek for unicorn.
Yes.
I had a revelation on a song yesterday.
All right.
Because the song Kyrie.
Yes.
From Mr. Mister.
Mr. Mister. Yes.
That's Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyrie eleison. Uh-huh. You know what that means?
Down the road I must travel?
No, it means it's something, I forgot, it has to do with the religion, it has to do with God.
Like what?
And I looked it up and I don't have it now in front of me because I wasn't expecting in the Space Cowboy to be talking about a Mr. Mister song.
Well, here we go.
It means, yeah, Lord have mercy.
Ah.
Right? I never knew that.
I did not know that either.
I thought it was somebody's name.
So did I.
Kyrie eleison. And then the other part, the eleison, I just thought was I was messing up and I never took the time to figure out what the word was. But
I thought that was Kyrie's liaison, the person who brought the information to you.
Kyrie eleison. Down the road that I must travel. Lord have mercy, down the road I must travel.
Huh.
Makes sense, right?
Look, we're learning about all this stuff.
How about that?
I always thought there should be a cover band made nothing of just women in the band and they could be Mrs. Mrs.
Mrs. Mister?
Yeah. Yeah, no, just Mrs. Mrs.
I like Mrs. Mister.
Mrs. Mister? All right. All right.
The wives compromise. Of Mr. Mister.
Yeah.
But Mrs. Mrs.?
Or Mrs. Mister.
And they would do nothing but what?
The songs? Two Mr. Mister songs that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. And that's it?
That's it. Yeah. That's pretty limited in what they can accomplish. But, you know, they'd have a niche market.
I like that. Mrs. Mister. All right. Well, anyhow, just thought you would be...
we've been enlightened now between the black hole and Kyrie LA, where we're up to speed now.
Yeah. Moving on. All right. How about this one? China's first Mars rover will be named Zhurong.
No, you're right.
After a traditional fire god.
Okay.
Now that's how you name something.
Fire god.
Yeah. And hang on the line, caller. I'm going to come to you in just a second here. The rover is aboard the Tianwen-1 probe that arrived in Mars orbit back in February.
The original name was the Urkel.
It's due to land.
Did I land there?
It's due to land this month to look for evidence of life. It's part of Chinese space plans that include launching a crewed orbital station.
Huh.
Crewed, C-R-E-W-E-D, not crude as in
the
raw
prehistoric family.
Barely. No, not the crudes. I just put that together, the crudes. C-R-O-O-D, meaning sounds like C-R-U-D-E,
yeah.
Crude. All right, anyway, maybe. Anyway, China in 2019 became the first country to land a space probe on the little explored far side of the moon, and December returned lunar rocks to Earth for the first time since the 1970s.
Huh.
And the rover's title fits with Chinese name for Mars, which is Ho Jing, or Fire Star.
Fire Star.
Those are cool names, man, with fire and everything flying there. I like that.
Yeah.
The name signifies igniting the flame of China's planetary exploration, according to the deputy of the CNSA administration.
So how elaborate? What is the technical status of this thing? Is it amazing or is it just sort of standard?
I have no idea.
Is it like one of those Estes rockets you used to build as a kid?
I just know the name. That's it. It's called...
Fire something.
It's a Zhurong.
This is a great day. Fire something has landed.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go to a caller.
All right.
It's Kyrie. Is that how you say it? How do you say your name? Kira?
Kyrie.
Wow. Hi, Kyrie.
Hi.
You're named after the Mr. Mister song?
Yeah.
So would you support a Mrs. Mrs.?
I didn't hear if you guys got what it means, but it means Lord watch over. It's Kyrie eleison.
Lord watch over?
Yeah.
We had a different, slightly different. Can you pull that back up with the...
Lord definition? Have mercy.
Lord have mercy, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was always told that it was Lord watch over because it's, you know, like protect me as I go along.
Is your family Greek?
No. My mom was raised Catholic.
Okay. Not Greek, she's Catholic.
It's
yeah. No, I'm not Jewish. I'm Spanish.
All right. Wait a minute. So was your mom just a big fan of the song?
She said that she heard it one day, and she's like, that's what I'm going to name my daughter.
Okay.
All right.
Good thing she wasn't listening to Who Let the Dogs Out.
Right.
This is my daughter, Who Let the Dogs Out.
Thank you, Kira.
And this is my son, the banana fama Flo Flama.
Do you know any of the people that were named after songs?
I'm sure I do. I'm named after a song, Steve.
St. Stephen, by any chance, by the Grateful Dead?
No.
Sing Stephen?
St. Stephen.
St. Stephen. Is there a St. Stephen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, what is he the saint of?
I don't know. Okay. All I know is that my confirmation name is Paul after Paul McCartney.
Oh, that's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, was not really a saint, but I didn't know the priest and all that.
Yeah, right.
Well, he was a saint, but not...
All right.
He's a Beatle instead of a saint.
There's Case. Already a Ms. Mister out there, too. Oh. A band, yeah. American.
What about Clitalica?
They exist too, yeah.
Clitalica?
Miss Talica. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, anyhow, that's all the space chat.
We really solved a lot of things here. Yeah.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed the segment. Thank you. All right, let's take a break because we want to stay on time.
We do.
We're getting you your shot at winning $500, and that is with the Presidency Money Clip, and we're in the final week of this. So I want to make sure you're quite aware of when these are taking place. We'll be back in a moment with it. Stay there.
Why talk on the phone? Just text MMR at 39333. Send requests, comments, or text songs for what we're playing 24/7. The MMR short code. Always open, never busy. 39333.
All right, let's share some stories with you.
93.3
W. Let's not do that. Let's do this.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Horizon. You can get the Horizon Services AC tune-up for just $49, plus a heater tune-up this fall for only $39. Call now or visit horizonservices.com for details. All right, we'll start with this story. Imagine sitting on a plane, and then the aircraft's door flies off moments before you take off.
That would upset me.
This is exactly what happened to a man on his flight from Minneapolis Wednesday afternoon. You can see in an image on this website that I pulled up an opening that is where the plane's emergency exit door was. Tom Yon was seated just feet from there on what he described as a small 8-person plane flown by Boutique Airlines, a private aircraft company.
Does boutique mean doorless?
I guess so. He said we were just about to take off, probably going, I don't know, 100 miles per hour, and the door flew off. A loud bang, and the door flew off, and the noise and the wind and everything. I didn't even see my bag get sucked out of the plane. I got it right here. This bag right here, he said, got sucked right out of the plane. And they gave it to me about an hour after we tried to take off.
Hey, we got your bag.
He said it was scary. He said there would have been a person sitting on the plane with a baby on their lap. I don't know what would have happened. Jan said no one appeared to be hurt. The Metropolitan Airports Commission confirmed the incident did happen.
Hey, we are sorry about that.
They said that the plane never actually left the ground after the door came off. It returned to the gate at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. And the door was found nearby.
So what altitude was it expected to hit? Because I might be into flying along with the door off.
Jan and others plan to take their concerns to the county board's public meeting today. Jan hopes that they'll consider taking action against the airline.
Where do we stand on having doors?
And Jan and several other passengers on that flight decided not to fly back to where they were headed to.
No kidding.
They took a ride.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna get a refund if we can.
Visitors to Dracula's Castle in Romania can now get the COVID-19 vaccine at the famous site. Nice. Doctors and nurses with fang stickers on their scrubs are administering Pfizer shots to guests at Bran Castle, which is believed to be the inspiration for the vampire's home in Bram Stoker's novel Dracula.
You're bleeding a little. I'll lick it off for you.
The vaccination drive is intended to lure more guests to the 14th century castle in Romania's Carpathian Mountains.
I'd love to visit that castle. It's amazing.
Which has seen tourism plummet during the pandemic. Visitors can show up for the shot any weekend during May at the castle, where they've also been given complimentary entry to tour an exhibit of medieval torture instruments, by the way. So you can get your vaccine
there you go.
While you're there. By the way, I saw something that the beer for vaccine promotion thing.
Yes. Is it working?
Is taking off like gangbusters.
Sure. Yeah.
Like more people are doing that. And just solely the reason
for the
reason of the beer. And marijuana places are doing that too. And they're seeing a nice return on that. Now, I don't know where this is. It says Heartland Police are reaching out to parents of Arrowhead students about playing Nerf Wars game and playing it safely. In a Facebook post on Wednesday, officials said, while we encourage students to have fun, we want them to play safe, and each year we have calls for students that are playing this game naked. And apparently that's what's happening.
Naked Nerf warfare.
Yes, that's exactly
so what
it.
Are the injuries that are incurred?
They didn't indicate. They just want. They don't want it to happen.
Like so a ball tap?
The post goes on to say this is not okay.
Double ball tap.
Heartland Police finished the post with a warning saying if you are a parent of an AHS student, please warn them that they could be arrested and issued citations if they are playing naked.
All right.
TripAdvisor has apologized after initially opting to leave up an offensive review of the Auschwitz Museum in Poland. The review has now been deleted and the poster banned, it said, blaming a screening failure. The museum complained about the post, in which the reviewer joked about bringing a baby to the gas chambers of the death camp. The post also flippantly described the experience as fun for the family. The Auschwitz Museum said that when it contacted TripAdvisor, it was initially informed that the posting fell within the site's submission guidelines. TripAdvisor said it had used a blend of technology and people in reviewing posts, and that in this case, our initial screening failed to identify this review as prompting intolerance. It did not say whether human or machines had been involved in the original decision. They said through our escalation process, this review was removed. We always aim to get it right the first time, and we apologize to the Auschwitz Memorial and Museum, the Jewish community at large, and all communities and individuals affected by this initial miss.
Do you ever check TripAdvisor reviews? I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I look for, like, what's people with YouTube videos, what they say if they've gone to a
I'll
place.
I'll do that as well. Yeah. I have a TripAdvisor account.
Right.
So if I'm going to plan a family vacation, right, it's one of the sources that I'll use. Now, I'll also go to YouTube and watch, like, tours of the
right.
of the, yeah. the facility that
people
I want to go to
yeah.
and actually see what it looks like from people who have actually stayed there. So, all right, one last story, and then we will wrap things up. Let's go with this one. Florida. In Florida, a man was arrested after deputies said he stole two police cars.
Two?
And then led authorities on a multi-county chase.
One would be that enough.
Said it started when Cocoa police were called. Police were called.
I need tickets for 7:30 showing at
Cocoa. Check out a report of a suspicious person on I-95. During that investigation, the person deputies later identified as Xavier Javern Cummings managed to get into a marked patrol car and took off. Hmm. Officers tried a pit maneuver, which sent the car into a wooded area.
So pitted.
They then tried to get Cummings out of the car, but he was able to run away and jump into a second police car that was running and unlocked, and he took off in that.
Wow.
He drove north on 95 with multiple agencies giving chase. Authorities used stop sticks to bring the chase to an end. It led to a brief closure of 95. Cummings faces a slew of charges, including armed burglary, two counts of grand theft, and motor vehicle theft as well.
All right, officers, turn off your cars from now on.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file. All right, let's get you that money. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we will get the word for the Preston and Steve money clip. And then we're already moving into the lesson question, trash and music news. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
10 o'clock exactly as we are returning into things. And the reason we are returning into things is because it's 10 o'clock exactly. And that means we need to do this. Now she can hit it.
93.3 WMMR. It's time for a Preston and Steve money clip.
Bam, 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 smash, smash, bam.
Now here's your money clip keyword.
The word is choice, all right? C-H-O-I-C-E, choice. It is so choice.
Yes.
You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it, and there are three ways to do it. You can text to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, just enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. And one random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest. That person will get a call from Beasley. Make sure that you answer your phone. The contest rules are available at WMMR.com and is sponsored by our fine sponsor, Hyundai City. So, again, the word is choice. C-H-O-I-C-E. Now, while you're letting your texting fingers do the walking, you're going to have to do the dialing thing in a moment, too, because we're going to do today's lesson question. Today, we're going to give away a Blu-ray combo pack of the Mauritanian. And the question that I think we're going to go with is, who was the worst of the Nazis? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. Who was the worst of the Nazis? 215-263-WMMR. The answer is not Hitler, although it would be pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But let's see if you were listening and you heard what we were talking about. We'll do the trash while you're trying to call in to win that prize.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Download the Jersey Mike's app, order ahead, and skip the line. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Tinder issuing a warning that they will be vigilant in guarding against Bill Gates impersonators now that the multi-billionaire is single again. Tinder also issued a major Bill Gates imposter red flag, that being pictures of his abs.
Ooh.
So you'll know that's not Bill Gates. Major movie companies saying they will not participate in the Golden Globes Awards until the judges are more diverse. President of the Screen Actors Guild, Gabrielle Carteris, firmly supports the effort. Because she's never going to win a Golden Globe anyway.
Yay! So
and finally, Pamela Anderson's son, Brandon Lee, says he wasn't surprised that she married a Canadian businessman, Daryl Hayhurst, last year after briefly dating. Lee says Anderson once married a man at the end of a long elevator ride. So that's your Hollywood trend.
Thank you, Steve. Speaking of Pamela Anderson, Steve, you're just pointing out Lily James, the actress, is going to be portraying Pamela Anderson. She posted a picture of her as Pamela Anderson. Wow.
Yeah, super wow.
Yeah.
Really good.
Looks a lot like her
yeah.
back in the day. It's impressive. All right, so we're going to do the lesson question. We're looking for the answer to this. Who is the worst of the Nazis? 215-263-WMMR. That is the number. And I am going to go to, I believe, first caller in was Sean. Yes. Hey, Sean, good morning. Oh, hang on. Let's try this again. Sean, now we can hear you. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Sean, who is the worst of the Nazis?
That's going to be Don Nazi.
Don Nazi.
Yeah. That's right.
Hang on, my man. We, sir, are going to set you up with a Blu-ray combo pack of The Mauritanian, the riveting true story of courage and survival against all odds, starring Academy Award winner Jodie Foster, Tahar Rahim, Shailene Woodley, and Academy Award nominee Benedict Cumberbatch. You can own it starting tomorrow on Blu-ray and DVD. It's also available on digital. Let us do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! I like big balls.
Brought to you this morning by A.D. Moyer Lumber. A.D. Moyer Lumber has been supplying quality building materials and service for over 80 years, four generations, one family, one commitment. You can learn more at admoyer.com. We're going to start with new concert information. This is a concert announcement, if you will. Yeah, so this event is going to be taking place in December. We're a little ways off from concerts happening fully, but Friday, December 17th, this will be solid. BB&T Pavilion indoors. We are happy to bring to you two bands performing together, Evanescence and Hailstorm.
Yeah! That's a good bill.
Absolutely. And in fact, last time when we spoke to Amy Lee of Evanescence, we were talking about Lizzie Hale and them performing together.
That'd be great,
and
yeah.
They're both fans of each other, so these two bands performing at the same show would be pretty cool. And you know they'll do some crossover stuff, I'm certain of it.
I'd love to hear them sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. And there's a pre-sale that's happening on Thursday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. while supplies last. And the password and complete Information is available at WMMR.com. Jackson, who is tight with Lizzie Hale.
Absolutely.
Will be giving away tickets all week long.
Nice.
Well, we'll listen up for your chance to win, which is cool. So once again, it is Hailstorm and Evanescence performing December 17th at the BB&T Pavilion Indoors, and tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. And the pre-sale is Thursday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. while supplies last. Password and complete info at WMMR.com. So there you go. All right, some other things to get into. Mention this story. This is kind of weird. FBI officials have released a 10-page file containing letters from the public pleading for the death of Kurt Cobain to be investigated further. The three correspondents, dated 97, 2003, and 2006, cite speculative TV documentaries and books on the death of the singer. And I don't know why the FBI has decided to release this, but they did.
I don't know. Yeah. I know that there are many people who are intrigued by the fact that a Sasquatch was seen leaving the cabin, and they believe there might be some sort of tie-in. I've seen some of these conspiracy, for lack of a better word, as to what happened. They seem to be very light in the believability range, you know?
One letter sent to the FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. and postmarked November 20th. 2006 claimed that police were too hasty in closing the investigation. It read, "This bothers me the most because his killer is still out there, and now, because of the haste of the police department, has the chance to claim other victims."
Has Courtney Love ever subscribed to any of this? I don't know. Right? No. Yeah, no.
It featured numerous typos and what appeared to be hand-drawn pictures of carnations in this big letter. Yeah. A 2003 letter to the FBI's division in Seattle called for a re-examination of Mr. Cobain's death. Millions of fans around the world would like to see the inconsistency surrounding the death cleared up for once and for all. It read, "It is sad to think that an injustice of this nature can be allowed in the United States." A separate letter to Seattle Police's murder unit in 97 cites claims made by private investigator Tom Grant, who was hired by Courtney Love after Cobain went missing around the time of his death.
Mm-hmm.
Grant released his own documentary in 2015 on Cobain's death. The release also included the FBI official responses to the letter correspondence, with officials pointing out that most death investigations generally fall within the jurisdiction of local or state law enforcement. The file on Cobain was released last month to the Vault, which is the FBI's Freedom of Information Act library.
Okay.
Came without prior public notice and nearly 27 years after the singer's death. So they decided now, for one reason or another, was the time to
Well, if there was a FOIA request, then that's probably why they released it, just so people could see it.
Yep. Alex Van Halen marked his 68th birthday on Saturday, posted a photo of himself and his late brother Eddie on VHND.com and wrote, "First birthday without you, Ed. The view from my drum set will never be the same. VH forever."
Has he spoken publicly about the death of his brother?
I haven't seen anything. No, he's a pretty, when it comes to interviews and things like that, he's more on the quiet side.
Yeah.
Alex Van Halen is. Pearl Jam fans will have a chance to dive into the band's live concert archive with Deep, the official digital collection of almost 200 concerts spanning 2000 to 2013. The collection, which is up and running on Pearl Jam's official site, allows visitors to access 186 bootlegs and 5,404 tracks from the past two decades, with each gig accompanied by show descriptions written by members of the band's 10 Club fan club.
What would you expect to pay for this amazing package?
Listeners can also generate their own dream playlist for a specially programmed concert.
I tell you, I was watching a movie last night, and that twister was real.
Yeah.
These packages are so, Nick, as a fan, with all the...
You know, it's funny.
I mean, that's so much stuff.
It is. I have a lot of these bootlegs already because they've released them in different forms over the years. So I bought the CDs when they came out, especially the shows that I went to. And it's cool because you buy the show that you go, you know, that you went to, and you have the CD copy of it. But I was thinking about that over the weekend because I started to go through my my iTunes movies that I own.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's all these Marvel movies on there. And now I subscribe to Disney Plus.
Right.
So all of those movies that I bought,
yeah,
you know, or whatever, like it's just different versions of owning the same things.
That's true.
Will I subscribe to this? Probably, because I'm a sucker and I'm a fan, so I'll do it anyway. But, you know, like, and you end up listening to things in different ways. You end up watching things in different ways, and you just want it to be as convenient as possible.
Mm-hmm. So what would you expect to pay for this amazing offer? I have no idea what they're charging.
A great gift for dads and grads.
Yeah, or if you want to get laid.
If you want to get laid.
Yes.
That's something, right? They got live people on the microphone. This guy over here looks like he's got like a skunk beard. He's very cool, man.
Oh, it's Pierre.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, skunk beard. I wish Eddie would do like a romp appeal type of thing for their music. You know, selling
you just
it.
Just set TV. It and forget it. When you come back, there's rotisserie chicken that say, "Mwah, so good."
Steve, he did this Global Citizen concert over the weekend.
It was, right.
I think Josh Klinghoffer played with him. It wasn't the full Pearl Jam band. But he did this little promo beforehand, and he was up on stage, Eddie was, talking about it. And it was you. It was like I was watching this thing laughing, and it was sort of a serious message about getting vaccines or whatever, getting vaccinated. But it was so dead on. It just cracked me up. I couldn't not laugh.
You know what? He's a very thoughtful guy.
Oh yeah.
What I absolutely love him in is Dewey Cox.
Yes. So good.
When he is inducting Dewey Cox into, or they're at an award ceremony, and they're giving him a Lifetime Achievement Award or something.
ZQ.
Like that. Yeah, and Eddie is going through the list of the rock and roll hierarchy and likening them to various biblical characters and so on. He's great in it.
He is really good.
He does such a good job.
And he's kind of making fun of himself in that process, too. Yeah. That I revisited that movie not that long ago. Yeah. I was watching John C. Reilly do Dylan.
Yeah, right.
And, oh my God, I just was dying.
It's the best.
It's so good. What the hell is he talking about?
The top five artists have been named in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's 2021 fan vote. So they are Tina Turner, led the pack with a whopping 585,000 votes, followed by number two. By Afrobeat pioneer Fela Kuti. We were talking to the president or the CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame not that long ago about that. The Go-Go's are number three, Iron Maiden number four, and Foo Fighters are number five. The inductees for the 36th annual Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will be announced later on this month.
So doesn't it seem rather odd that Tina Turner should be going in vis-a-vis the fan vote and not just... shouldn't she just legitimately be?
I would think so, especially with
Tina
the other
Turner,
with the other people that have been nominated from the world of R&B.
Yeah,
Tina Turner's a no brainer, especially earlier on with Ike and Tina because they were raw.
Yeah,
and they were definitely rock flavored. So you know, but I don't know how it ended up like this. Two more quick things. Nine Inch Nails has announced two separate headline shows. Nowhere near us. They're going to be in Cleveland. On September 21st and 23rd. And the Pixies will be...
Cleveland was the home of the Drew Carey show.
Cleveland true. Rocks.
Cleveland Rocks.
Yeah.
Little Eddie observations.
Yeah, fun facts. Yeah. Eddie.
The band announced on Twitter, Nine Inch Nails returned to Cleveland for the...
Little fun fact for you. The Drew Carey show, the sitcom, took place in Cleveland.
How about that?
And Mimi, she was hot on there, wasn't she?
She wore a lot of mascara.
Yeah.
But she was a cut-up. She was the bane of Drew's existence, so it was a quick with a comeback.
Cut-up. So
this was Craig Ferguson, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
He was the boss on the show, right?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's hard to understand. He fumbles a lot.
I heard Craig Ferguson, and that's it. The band announced on Twitter, Nine Inch Nails returned to Cleveland for the first time since the band's induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum display and see the only Nine Inch Nails headline show of 2021. So tickets go on sale this Friday for that. And then one last thing, speaking of tickets going on sale, 15 minutes ago, Eggs with Peg tickets went on sale. For Keenan's and the party at the Jersey Shore. Yep, it's the official opening of the Jersey Shore. A little bit different this year. We will not be broadcasting live, but our buddy Brett Porsche will be on location reporting live. The numbers are more limited. Only 900 people are allowed in.
That is a major step in the right direction.
Yeah, it is.
There's going to be a party. It's modified, but That party means next year's party is going to be the party.
All right.
But
so
take advantage of this, man. It's going to be awesome.
Tickets are on sale now. You can go to WMMR.com for complete details and the ticket link. And it's brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Proceeds, by the way, benefit the John R. Elliott Hero Campaign for Designated Drivers. And the reason it's ticketed this year is because the numbers are limited per the restriction. So,
as you said, though, 900 people, it's going to feel like what you want.
Yep, absolutely. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in music news. Unless, Eddie, you've got anything else you want to add?
No, I think, I'm good.
Okay, so we'll just wrap.
Vetter out.
Hey, just real quick, going back to Tina Turner, she is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Ike Turner.
Okay. There we go. Yeah, I misspoke.
No, no, no. Well, I mean,
instead of a solo artist.
As a solo artist, she's not.
She should have been. She should be. This is a fan writing bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
Uh-huh. Should have been the Go-Go's. We got the beat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Private dancer, actually. Was,
I'm your private dancer.
Yes, oh my God.
Dancer for money.
Yeah, and he does a cover of it. I had no idea.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
That was a great album.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I like
What's the song that the first hit off that album was?
What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you what I liked was a duet she did with Bryan Adams. It's Only Love and That's All. That's a great freaking song, man.
There's another duet she does.
There's another duet she does.
Oh, okay.
Who's the other artist that she does? It was big at the time.
Well, they also did Beyond Thunderdome. We don't need another duet.
Nah, that right. stinks. Yeah.
But I liked it.
Yeah.
But
it's Hoagie.
I don't know. Yeah, Steve, I remember her having a hit.
You liked the band. I liked the band, too. And she sang it with a... What's the guy's name?
I need more.
God damn it. It's big in the... and I'm having a complete brain fart. Complete
big in the 80s.
Alt-rock sort of... Oh. Band from the MTV. You better be good to me.
No, that was so.
You better
that was
be good
a solo,
to him.
That was a solo hit for her.
Cleveland
be,
Rocks.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Better be good to me. Yes, that was that. Did that was with somebody else.
Curran. What's his name?
No.
Irwin.
Nick's gonna look it up.
Well, I don't even know
Steve
what
Irwin.
We're talking about.
Steve Irwin.
Yeah. You better be good to me.
Okay.
Tina Turner. Look that up. Just do a search on. You better be good to me. Because
you know what I'm talking about.
Better be good to me.
You know, man.
Mike Chapman wrote it?
No. Not Dwayne Chapman.
Rupert Hine was the producer.
Hmm?
Maybe it was something else, Steve. She did a song with Mick Jagger, I think, didn't she?
Who did Saved by Zero?
The Fix.
Right. And who's the lead singer of The Fix?
Cy Kernan.
And he sang with her. He did.
You're right.
And it was a song. And what was the name of the song?
And I can't remember, but I'm glad Eddie came over because now we're getting somewhere.
The Fix?
Cy Kernan is his name. That's Cy right. spelled C-Y.
He sang, I think, a really good duet with Tina Turner.
Okay.
Cy Analon.
What would you expect to pick Cy Analon Concon? No, man, she's deep berries.
Well, he appeared in the Better Be Good to Me video, okay. So maybe that's what it brings you back.
That's probably it then.
Okay.
Right, that was another hit off that album.
Yeah, I want to say something, Nick. Somebody's got to be texting in. Tina Turner and Mick Jagger, Better Be Good to Me. Yes, Cy Kernan from The Fix.
I there guess. We go. Stewart.
She might have sang
it,
on that.
It Takes Two at Rod Stewart.
It Takes Two from Rod Stewart.
With Rod Stewart.
With Rod Stewart.
At Rod Stewart.
Okay.
All right, we got that. Got to the bottom of that.
I think we got it. All right. Let's finish this segment up
and
come back in a moment, and we'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. We'll do all of that. Stay with us. We'll return shortly.
WMMR.com. The one thing that rocks. Events, photo galleries, our gear in the rock shop. And WMMR.com.
Joe, what about those monsters?
Those monsters were real! Yes!
Shine down on 93.3 WMMR. It is everything that rocks.
Is there any chance that guy is actually would hear that? Would know that? I mean, would he know? Is
no.
he? Okay, he wouldn't know.
Wait.
This is a guy that Casey worked with years ago who was...
He was the boss of the company.
Boss of the company. He was blown away by the movie Twister.
And he's still with us, right?
He's not. He hasn't passed.
He hasn't passed on.
I don't think he's passed on. I don't think so.
Maybe he was just so blown away by Twister.
Yeah.
Close to seizure.
Tornadoes weren't real.
I want to hear him. I kind of want to meet the guy.
I wonder
if anybody knows who this guy is. Put him in touch with us because we'd.
I was making fun of him.
I know, but it's. I still want to. Now in curiosity. I want to hear if he talks like that. That's why you need to listen to the whole show. Sometimes there are little moments that we go back to from earlier on the program that you're going. What the hell are those guys talking about? And sometimes it's an old boss at a pool that was blown away by the movie Twister and thought that those were real.
I just saw a notification pop up, Preston, that we were just earlier discussing Don Knotts. And apparently that Daily Rush video is up already. So.
Oh, get out of here. Yeah, Nick Murphy did it already?
Don Knotts.
Yeah, man.
I was saying to Casey, doing that impression sounded kind of like Don Knotts, but I said, it sounds a little Don Knotts. And I realized I said the word Nazi.
Don Knotts. The most benevolent. Yeah, he's kind of crazy. Knotts. He's not quite competent.
Yeah, but he's sweet.
Yeah, a sweet Nazi. I don't think he can achieve that.
I don't think he can either. All right. Thank you for being with us this morning. We covered a lot of ground today. We dove into our final week of the Preston and Steve Money Clip. That continues on today, so listen for your chance to win the money. We reinstituted the Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year and chose our first school, which is Upper Perkiomen High School in Pennsburg. And if you want to vote for a teacher and you're a student there, all you have to do is text the word teacher to 39333. You don't even have to send us a name because we're going to send you a voting link and then you enter it there. It's real simple to do. You can also go to PrestonandSteve.com. If you want to do it that way, you certainly can. So we got that going. We announced a show, which is Evanescence and Hailstorm in December. So details at WMMR.com. The Keenan's tickets went on sale just a little while ago. So we had a lot to get into today.
Ton of stuff.
Very cool. Absolutely. We're going to need to do the letter of the day. So let's go ahead and fire that up now.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
T, as in Twister.
All right. And we are going to give away a $250 credit to Squeezed.com, the best juice cleanse on the market. Lose weight, better sleep, more energy. Online ordering and same-day delivery available at squeezed.com. So we will give that away on Friday. And yes, indeed, the Twister and Don Knotts conversation is up and running, and it says those tornadoes were real. You can watch that Daily Rush video now at PrestonandSteve.com. It is sponsored by Punchline, Philly Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. And it'll be up in 10 minutes, it says.
Oh, 10 minutes.
On PrestonandSteve.com, it'll be up in 10 minutes. So let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And also by Acme. They have everything you need to prep for this summer season. You can go to Acme, fresh foods, local flavors. Tomorrow on a program, looking like a good stacked show. It'll be Tuesday. We give away a free tattoo with the Preston and Steve Tattoos Day taking place. We will also have MMRBQ veterans. Josh and Sam from Greta Van Fleet, and they are going to be on the bill.
No,
they have played. No, they will be playing.
No, that's Dirty Honey.
That's Dirty Honey. We're just going to talk to Josh and Sam.
And ask them if they are going to go.
Greta Van Fleet. Have they not played the MMRBQ?
No.
Concert events for the station, but not
I thought they were involved with it.
No. Okay. You're thinking it's ZZ Top.
They did. They played the MMRBQ one time. For real.
For real.
And we're also going to have author Mitch Albom on. He brought us Tuesdays with Maury. And now he's done Tuesdays with Don Knotts. It's his new book. No, we'll talk to him tomorrow. So that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
Hey everybody, it's good to have you on the Bop-Bop-Two-Da-Bop-Two-Bop-Bop-Ba-Do-Ga-Ga-Bop-Ba-Dop.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.